More than simply for physical health, the Dow Jones average fell more than 2,000 points today. That's a decline of more than 7.5%. It was the market's worst day since the 2008 financial crisis. It was the fourth worst day since the Great Depression. Grant Thornton, a major accounting firm, is predicting a global recession due to this epidemic and very low growth, if any, here in the United States. If a recession does hit, it will not be so simple to fight it. The usual stimulus efforts, tax cuts and lower rates, won't reopen factories that have shut down to contain a virus. It won't get people to eat at closed restaurants or shop in closed malls or attend canceled sporting events. We're going to have a demand problem in this economy, and that's a big deal. In other words, our country is likely to experience a painful period we are powerless to stop. None of this is justification to panic. You shouldn't panic. In crisis, it's more important than ever to be calm. But staying calm is not the same as remaining complacent. It does not mean assuring people that everything will be fine. We don't know that. Instead, it's better to tell the truth. That is always the surest sign of strength. As they level with us, our leaders ought to prepare the public for what may come next. If a recession is coming, we need to save money for the possible effect of that. If travel restrictions are coming, we should know that, too. Already, the nonstop Acela train service between New York and Washington, which is critical to a lot of people, has been suspended. The Indian Wells tennis tournament in California, one of the largest in the world, has been canceled for this year. The March Madness basketball tournament is supposed to start in a couple of weeks, but it could be held in front of empty stands or postponed or canceled as well. In the end, you may be given the option to work from home, but eventually may be ordered to do that. You should know. We should also focus on preparing our healthcare system for the worst. The time of containing coronavirus with widespread testing and individual quarantines, blocking the borders, useful, but that time is over. There are too many cases here now. We cannot stop this epidemic. We can only limit the damage that it does. Now is also the time to start looking ahead to the future. Think about what it would mean to face a deadlier version of coronavirus. It's not unimaginable. It's very easy to imagine. Are we ready for that? We're not ready now. We ought to be. One of the first things we can do to prepare ourselves is break our dependence on China for essential medical supplies. Last week, China's official news service published a piece gloating that the country has brought coronavirus under control. The story claims the rest of the world should apologize to China for criticizing the country over the virus, and then drops this not very subtle warning, quote, "If China retaliates against the United States at this time, in addition to announcing a travel ban on the United States, it will also announce strategic control over medical products and ban exports to the United States. If China announces that its drugs are for domestic use and bans exports, the United States will fall into the hell of a new coronavirus epidemic," unquote. In other words, they're threatening to kill us. And that's not an empty threat. We really are that dependent on China for masks and medical equipment, for basic medicines, for pharmaceuticals of all kinds. It is shocking to wake up one morning and find ourselves in this supine position, dependent on a country that hates us. The people who did it, who made us this dependent on a hostile foreign power, deserve to be punished for what they did. That won't happen, probably. But at least we can try to fix the damage they caused, and there's a lot of it. The Chinese coronavirus will get worse. Its effects will be far more disruptive than they are right now. That is not a guess. It is inevitable, no matter what they're telling you. Let's hope everyone stops lying about that, and soon.
Well, that's what you call a perfect statement of reality. Reasonable, measured, and pointing out the Chi-Com supply most of our drugs and are gloating about it, threatening to cut us off. Just incredible. And that's just one piece of all of this. Thank you for joining us on this March 10th, Tuesday, global transmission, 327 days out from the historic election. Wow, so much crazy stuff's going on. Other listeners have really liked the calls. We did a decent job of taking a lot of calls, but still, I didn't get to as many as I wanted to. And so we're going to open the phones up and we're going to take calls throughout the broadcast today until Paul Joseph Watson hosts the fourth hour ahead of the War Room with Owen Schroyer. We just had Kick Butt David Knight show on. I was watching some of that this morning, getting ready for the transmission. I haven't had any sleep tonight. That's right. I had no sleep last night. I'll tell you about that too. An interesting story. Very informative. Talk about a bird's eye view. From a very interesting place. So it's a big transmission today. You don't want to miss it.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming
waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Task Force, we had the opportunity to brief the president today on a broad range of issues. Once again, because of the unprecedented action that President Trump took in January, suspending all travel from China, establishing travel advisories for portions of South Korea and Italy, establishing screening of all direct flights, all passengers from all airports, Italy and South Korea, we have bought a considerable amount of time, according to all the health experts, to deal with the coronavirus here in the United States. In fact, as I stand before you today, the risk of contracting the coronavirus to the American public remains low, and the risk of serious disease among the American public also remains low. That being said, the president did deploy not just a whole-of-government approach, but also a whole-of-America approach. And last week, at the president's direction, we met with leaders in industries from nursing homes to airlines, pharmaceutical companies, commercial labs, and it's had great, great impact. Pharmaceutical companies are already working literally around the clock on the development of therapeutics that will be medicines that can bring relief to people that contract the coronavirus. And I know how pleased the president was to learn that the commercial labs in this country, led by companies like LabCorp and Quest, have already brought a test forward and are taking that to market effective today. This week, at the president's direction, we'll be meeting with hospital CEOs, health insurance CEOs, and all building on top of what the president will be announcing tomorrow with regard to economic relief for working Americans. We also met today in a conference call with 47 of America's governors. We were able to brief them on the latest, the progress that we've made. We were able to confirm with them that testing is now available in all state labs in every state in the country. Over a million tests have been distributed before the end of this week. Another 4 million tests will be distributed. But as I said before, with the deployment of the commercial labs, we literally are going to see a dramatic increase in the availability of testing. And that's all a direct result.
Okay, let's stop right there. I thought we should hear from Tucker Carlson in the first little segment, and now from the vice president. Tucker Carlson, I'm very tempted to re-air that little 3.5 minutes again at the bottom of the hour, because I'm not here in the Tucker Carlson ass-kissing gallery. In fact, I used to not like Tucker Carlson back when he was on CNN, was more libertarian-esque, not really hardcore, but he's really matured into the thoroughbred. And I know he writes his own stuff for his teleprompter, and I know him in person. He's that smart in person. And he perfectly summed it up last night. And it's really hard to top that. I mean, I can get into all the minutia. We'll take your calls. We'll bring in a lot of angles. But this is a big deal. And Communist China supplies the majority of our pharmaceuticals, and most of them are tainted and toxic. Then they also hammer us with enough fentanyl to kill the entire world over and over again with an overdose. So that's the level of stuff that's going on. And I'm not just trying to make Communist China the boogeyman. Communist China, in their own admissions, has killed over 100 million people. Communist China has aborted over 400 million babies, most of them little girls. Communist China is the model of the globalist surveillance grid right now all over the world, and is being adopted and is rolling out teams to teach big tech how to surveil better and how to surveil people for coronavirus like they're the savior of the planet. It's disgusting. You take a man-made virus that leaks out of Wuhan, the Senate Intelligence Committee members have come out and said that's what the evidence shows, and somehow that turns them into the victims and turns the Chi-Coms into the good guys, when we just saw something out of a science fiction zombie movie with what they did to their own population. So I'm going to cover all the latest developments on that front, give the number out here in just a moment, and then start taking your calls, because it's very informative in all the different angles you come up with, any subjects you want to cover. Long-time listeners, first-time callers, long-time callers, it's a free-for-all on this Tuesday Global Transmission. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Something very interesting happened this morning. I was talking to one of the crew members from another part of the building, and he was like, you know, there's a rumor in the office that you use cocaine, because there's no way you can be so tired during a break and then explode, you know, once you come back on air. Well, that's what I do. I care passionately about this. And the reason InfoWars has been so successful is excitement is contagious. Adrenaline and endorphins and focused anger is a drug. It's a drug I use. It's a drug I'm addicted to. And it's a drug that I'm trying to get off of. That's the drug I'm on, is hatred of devil worshipers and pedophiles. And it's an important drug. It's why God gave it to us. But at the same time, I've got too much of it. I've got too much of it. I don't want to die of a heart attack, you know, at 50. Because I'm 46, man. And it's, you know, it's in my family's background. Alpha male, super successful at everything. Gigantic, spectacular heart attacks. 55, they're gone. Then others learn how to chill out before then. They live to be 90. I want to be those guys that lived to 90. Hell, some of them 100. But it's hard. But then I see other people that don't care at all. I see other people that just don't think anything matters, and they're dead. And it's better to be alive and burn twice as bright than to be basically a dim bulb that is never awake, never cares, and never has passions. And that's why I talk about the man in the arena. But that's why the left always says Alex Jones, the cokehead, Alex Jones, the drug addict, Alex Jones this, Alex Jones that. And it's because they don't have that type of passion. They don't have that drive, so they can't imagine somebody that can broadcast 10 hours a day if they need to and love it and want to come back at night and do more, because they don't have that spark that sets fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. But I know you have that spark and you have that focus, and that's what we need more of to turn things around. You know, that's why last year I was a good boy for, I don't know, over 4 months, didn't have one drink, lost a whole bunch of weight, exercised better, felt so much good. Then Christmas came around, started drinking again a little bit. And I'm going to now endeavor just to 100% quit forever, just because it takes my focus away. But I take depressants. I mean, I take natural knockout at night to help sleep. That's a depressant, natural depressant. I drink alcohol to not, you know, care, because I care too much. And I take it to take the focus away, to take the clarity away, because I can't handle reality. But you know what? That's me being honest about it, that I go and hide in places like that. But other people, they just don't give a damn. So why does it even matter to them? But I do care. And I care about having integrity. And that's why the system constantly says Alex Jones is a fake. Alex Jones is a phony. Alex Jones doesn't have integrity. Alex Jones's lawyer says that he is a actor. None of that's true. They were trying to enter as evidence that I was insane in a Joker makeup, saying put fluoride in the water. I was doing a satire piece. I was being an actor there, but I'm not an actor when I'm on the show being Alex Jones myself, as a father and a man and as a Christian and as a human telling the truth. So the globalists are great at stealing our identity, saying we're racist, saying we're bad. It's not true. I care about humanity, and I will not let them steal my identity. And that's why it's so important for all of you to be vocal and all of you to be involved, because they want to steal your identity. And when you don't speak out and when you're not involved, they can lie and take your voice as well. Don't let Ursula take your voice like she did the Little Mermaid and make you one of those little slaves down in her pit. Break free and use that voice and empower yourself and future generations. Stay with us, newswars.com, band.video. Spread those links if you want to override the globalist and exercise your power.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
blue ball spinning through the galaxy. And most people never even ask where we came from or who we are. Who's our daddy? Well, I'm asking that question. We're going to open the phones up and take a ton of your calls today. From Judy and Andre and Roberto and Hobbs and Carlos and John and Tim and many, many others. So that's all coming up. Okay, let's go ahead and burrow into the facts. There's a new naturalnews.com article up on Infowars.com. Breaking new analysis reveals President Trump must lock down the USA, just like Italy, in order to break the chain of exponential spread of the coronavirus. All air traffic and road traffic must be halted. You know, that is a very extreme statement by Mike Adams. And he's an engineer. He's a mathematician. He's one of the smartest people I know. But I've seen the other models. The virus will still just spread slower, but many models show it'll spread just as much. And who knows if it'll mutate to be worse or less. Looks like it's mutating to get worse. So, and we don't even know its morbidity rate. First it was 15, and then now it's 2, maybe it's lower. And again, if it's 0.1%, it's a serious issue. But they don't have a vaccine for it. You don't want a vaccine for it. It's a mutant virus. You'll never have a proper vaccine, just like the flu is always mutating. It's why no vaccine for the flu has ever worked. If you actually read the real literature on it, the real white papers, the real, it's a fact. Think about that. And in the old days, just a few years ago, everybody knew there were huge crises caused by vaccines and mass deaths and side effects and secret vaccine payout funds. But now Facebook and Twitter and Google, they say, and Apple, you're not going to say a word about vaccines unless you're a doctor approved by Big Pharma. Wow. So there goes the power of consumer reports. And hey, I went in this restaurant and I think I got food poisoning. Or hey, my kid took this shot and had a convulsion. That's, we've always known that's the most important reporting there is the average person. But they've shut it all down, ladies and gentlemen. And now we know that things like Rotten Tomatoes and TripAdvisor are rigged. Just 5-6 years ago, they were pretty accurate. Now they're rigged. There's articles and reports of it everywhere. And so the system set up the internet and sold it to us that, oh, it's the internet of things and we're all able to go and say what we like and whatever is the best goes to the top. That got us all addicted because it was so real. It was so true. They still gamed it some. But now it's completely becoming synthetic where it's not just Alex Jones that the search results are fixed, all negative, all old news articles demonizing me and lies and incredible disinformation. But now it gets even more insane where it's almost everything now. Oh, you think Google just shows you where all the restaurants are? Remember, they should show you all of them? Or the nav on your car. But now it's who pays. It's who pays Dodge. It's who pays Toyota. It's who pays Mercedes. It's who pays Google. It's who pays Twitter. It's who pays Facebook. Just to be a map that you see. Now, remember, at first, false advertising, they would show you everything. But now, they don't show you everything. But see, you're already addicted to it. I'm already addicted to it. You think you're getting what's real. You think you're getting what was the interface to the world, a crystal ball. But now it's not a crystal ball that looks wherever you want to look. A Palantir is what they call the internet. That's an old NSA term for it 30 years ago. They were building it, not just a program they have. And you think about that, how they're robbing reality and blinding you. But when it comes to a debate about it, it's just, we're just censoring Alex Jones, that the Nazi. And then even that's a lie. So I'm going to take your calls. I'm going to get into all of this, but I don't think Mike's bad for giving the extreme analysis, and he's been pretty much dead on so far. But we have to look at the other perspectives in all of this and say there's really not proof of the morbidity, of the lethalness of this at any level that would cause this type of panic. But it's that it's an unknown, and China responded by locking things down up front, and all the leftist cities and all the leftist tech companies and all the big banks are ordering the biggest panic they could, and they're canceling work at, you know, big tech buildings because they don't want you going out. Big tech wants you in your house, hooked up to a terminal with drones outside surveilling you, where you're not allowed to go outside unless they've authorized it. They want you forced into their cage. A mini Times Square where it's all just screens and controls and Google goggles and brain chips, and that's all children are born into, and everybody's going to be cesarean section born, and then you won't even be able to be born because everybody's sterilized. And this is the admitted incremental plan they're following step by step. And I can tell you, just like the Bible told you 2,000 years ago, humans did not cook up this plan. I mean, anybody that really sits back, and I know Mike Adams agrees with me and many others, I don't get into flying saucers and how the space station constantly sees stuff shooting by at 50,000 miles an hour and going in loop-de-loops. I mean, obviously, there's a bunch of stuff up there. But if you look at the architecture of the rollout and the smartphones and the system of making the world uninhabitable for humans, it's alien. And again, the Bible says there is a fallen entity that is immortal that lives here but can't get off and is imprisoned and hates us because we were made by the dude that marooned them here. That's the coolest science fiction book ever, man. 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000. The Egyptians were saying that too. You don't just think the Jews just cooked that up 3,000 years ago. We're putting in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then it's the Indians say that in their Sanskrit, and it's in the carvings. And that's what it is, folks. Some really nasty, nasty aliens who really want to hurt you. And they're getting humans that collaborate with them through a spiritual interface. It's like the internet. You don't see it, but it's a spiritual interface. It's spiritual. It's a spirit. It's a transmission. They've now proven that's going on. It's how hummingbirds know how to fly from, you know, Canada to Guatemala. And they're building a thing to kill everybody and telling those that sold out to them, don't worry, you'll merge with machines and join us soon. Yes, people are so enamored. Oh, yes, master. I can't believe I'm talking to you. Well, yes, we've got a very nice plan for you. And notice the media never attacks me for covering all that because they all know that's true. Everybody I've talked to, high-level Silicon Valley, is in a cult, ladies and gentlemen, of UFOs.
Sides and standing up for things they believe in.
Yeah, I had Merle Haggard tickets
when
bought.
Down our country, they're walking on the fighting side.
Oh, Siri says she didn't quite hear me asking about I had Merle Haggard tickets bought. A month before he died, he was on a Texas Oklahoma tour. He died of pneumonia, and I had never seen Merle Haggard in person. Same thing with Johnny Cash. Back before South by Southwest was one of the biggest things in the world. This is like 30 years ago. It's hard to believe I've been out of high school that long. My parents, I just got out of high school, said, we have tickets from our friends downtown that knew some musicians involved to Johnny Cash. And I'm like, yeah, I got a girlfriend. I got stuff. I like Johnny Cash because I knew I listened to Johnny Cash all the time. My CD player, my car. And then he died like a year later. It was one of the last shows he did. They said it was incredible. I don't know why I'm even telling that story. It's like just if there's something you want to do on your bucket list, you need to get it done, is all I'm saying. Because especially when it comes to American icons like that. Because, you know, I don't give a rat's ass about some Hollywood globalist tiddlywinks person. But outlaws like Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings and people like that that did their own thing and totally changed the entire industry and also promoted Americana, that was a revolutionary thing. But I got to tell you, because it needs to be said, there's nothing more rebel and more avant-garde and more grassroots and more Paul Revere and more outlaw, more salt of the earth Americana than InfoWars. It's just a fact. Our guest, our crew, what we do here, the listeners, the callers, just everybody, it's amazing. And there's nothing more rebel than being lied about and demonized and attacked and sued and deplatformed by scum. So I'm proudest of my children, and I'm proud of just being alive and being conscious. But I want to say I'm proud of what InfoWars has done and all the trials and tribulations we've gone through. And I've just been letting myself, instead of always being so angry that we're not fighting hard enough and that the enemy's so evil and that I'm so angry at myself with this weight that I'm not doing enough, I've really been praying about it a lot. And God said, you need to enjoy the victories you've had and savor things and have more joy. And you need to tell people about the great success we've all had together. That's literally what God's put on my heart. And so I just want to take a moment to recognize this crew and to recognize the incredible audience of activists. That's an oxymoron to call you an audience. You are hard chargers. And I love you, whether you're old, young, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, from Japan, Mexico, South Korea, Chile, Canada, Germany, Russia. I don't care. We're all human beings. And we all want justice and freedom. That's why you're tuned in. And it's just an amazing thing that we've all been through together. It's absolutely an amazing thing that we've all been through together. I could plow into this coronavirus stack. I could plow into this InfoWar stack. And man, there's a lot. I mean, wow. Man, the stuff that the pervert mafia is doing, the pedophile mafia. I mean, that's what drag queen story time is the pedophile mafia grooming children publicly and saying they're grooming them. And I pray about this too. Like, do I play the latest clips that are the most horrible ever? Or at a certain point, we just talk about the fact that we love God and we love justice. We need to protect our children. And we know how bad they are now. And we've kind of done the job exposing them. And the truth is, we have to keep exposing it. We have to keep showing it. Because they want us to just get overwhelmed and just give up. Do not give up. But there is a time to expose these people and to show what they're doing. There's a time not to. But I know you've got courage just like I do. But, man, looking at these people and watching them hump these kids in public, man, I just can't do it. I'm going to have a heart attack. And is that a form of censorship? Are they winning? Because I can't look at fat dudes in clown outfits saying, we're here to groom your kids one way or the other. You know what it is? My mind is like, hey, you know what your soul says we should do. But then that makes them the victims and they win. They're trying to get us to strike out at them. Instead, we've got to guard our children and expose these monsters and cut the funding off to any group. Oh, my God. Or any. Turn it off. Turn it off. I already saw this. That's another thing. I do research for the show, and then I just can't show it again. There's some kind of crime. We already saw it once, and but the people need to know, though. See, if I showed you the footage we've got, stations will call and say, you shouldn't be showing that. And I'll say, you're absolutely right, sir or ma'am. But this is what kids are being taught. People need to know. And they go, actually, you're right. What do we do? I go, I don't know what we do. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know because I can't even show you what comes next on these videos. I don't want to look at it. Showing it is something should not be shown. We're a lot of TV stations. I get it, man. And the stations are like, you can't show that. Exactly. How is it happening to small children if you can't show it on TV? Oh, boy. Oh, Jiminy Crickets. Anyways, see, I'm going to take a vacation next week. I'm not going out of town, but everyone's insisted that I take a week off and somehow, how do you take a week off during this coronavirus insanity? The coronavirus is a hoax, and the coronavirus is 100% real. That's how the universe works. It's paradoxes. It's man-made. It does kill a certain percentage of people, but the hype and the economic crises and the supply chain disruptions are already happened, and it's seismic, and it's devastating, and it's meant to take out the U.S. economy, and we predicted that, and the whole globalist media is openly flaunting that as a way to bring down the U.S., and Trump needs to be out attacking them for using it as a weapon. Tucker Carlson gets it. You know who we need for president? I'm serious. Step aside, Donald Trump, and give me Tucker Carlson. I'm serious. Because I'm thinking this stuff, and I'm saying it, and I watch Tucker a couple days later, and I'm not saying he's copying us, though he is a viewer, but he everybody tunes in. And he's got knowledge, I've got knowledge, we distill it, and he knows how to distill it. Take all the stuff everybody else sees and just say it in like 4 minutes. What a gift. Because you kill the hysteria by admitting the worst potential up front, so now people know what to expect. If you don't do that, then when it comes, you're hit flat-footed. We're going to go to break. Come right back with your calls, I promise. 877-789-2539 on this Tuesday Global Transmission. I'm not going to belabor this. I'm just going to tell you that for just your daily life and your gums and your teeth and for regular viruses and bacteria, the patented nanosilver we have, the Pentagon has come out and documented and Homeland Security and said this stuff kills the whole SARS corona family at point blank range. Well, of course it does. It kills every virus. But it's they found that. And then this is 13 years ago. And the Pentagon uses the product we have. And the product we have in private label is about to be in Walmart coming up. They've just ordered a massive crap ton of not the one they have, but this even better one that we have. So I'm just saying we're always cutting edge, thank to God. I just go with the research, go with the spirit, and we always have it. The nano silver toothpaste in the super blue with the tea tree and the iodine. That's the super blue is amazing. And then we have the whitening toothpaste that has the nano silver and a lot more as well. Those are both excellent. They're at InfoWarsStore.com. They're still discounted despite all the hell breaking loose. We have storable food in stock, but we have to package it, and it's 6 to 8 weeks behind shipping it out to you. Other people will lie to you. Got big old Pinocchio noses. We're not. That's what's going on. You want storable food? You want to get delivered? This thing, if it is super bad, peaks in about 12 weeks in the U.S., the models show. So you'll get your food, InfoWarsStore.com, and it's high quality. It's a very low price. They haven't raised prices yet, but I'm told it's next week. So InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula is back in stock as well.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done, you got to know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Jones here, your host. All right, let's go to your calls right through into the fourth hour with Paul Joseph Watson. Tons of clips, breaking news as it comes in. We'll be covering it all. I can't say this enough. Please don't forget the broadcast is not a spectator sport. It is a full contact sport, and there are no spectators. You're in the arena, whether you like it or not. You were born into the arena. And those that decide to get in a fetal position and be victims are the ones that are going to get run over. Those that decide to start fighting are the ones that are going to soar. All right, let's go to Roberto in New York. Disagrees with AJ on Trump and the virus. Goes to the head of the line, Roberto. Tell me how I'm wrong.
Hey, Mr. Jones. Well, first I'd like to say it was an honor to stand side by side with you in Virginia. I was on your show the night before in front of the Capitol building. And then also, if I could, I've had storable food of yours for about 5 years, and I sleep better at night knowing that my family will be well off in any type of situation like we have now. So with that being said, I feel as if you've been passive, to say the least, on your criticism of Trump. For those of us that are very educated on what's going on with our financial system and the true numbers of the economy and jobs and everything.
Something he inherited. I mean, the globalists are trying to bring down the economy. Of course, the economy's fake and all screwed over and out of control. He's trying to ride the tiger he was put on top of. Trump ain't the tiger, brother.
He's riding that sucker. I just feel lied to by Trump frequently. And, I mean, you can definitely prove that the things that he says to the public are lies. And his voter base is a lot of middle-class, hardworking people.
Okay, well.
Go ahead.
CNN will show you 50 jars of gumballs and say every one of those is a lie. That's a stunt. Tell me what is a lie about the U.S. economy that Trump's telling you.
Well, I'd like to start with the jobs numbers and the labor force participation rate,
which right
now we're at, I believe, 63% labor force participation rate, the actual people that work. In 2010, at the height of the financial crisis, we had 64% of our population employed and working. So that number right there is swept under the rug when they just want to report new jobs. Now, I'm not against Trump. He has done many, many things for our country. And, you know, his support base, but there's fundamental issues.
It's tomatoes, tomatoes. We're in an economic war with the globalists trying to bring the economy down. Of course he's hyping everything positive to keep the country going. If he does it, the ship goes down. Of course he's rallying the troops. And notice just that rallying took us from a 1% growth rate to a 3.8. So the Federal Reserve raised rates to kill that. I've seen Trump, man, really deliver on pulling out of Afghanistan, pulling out of Syria. I mean, here's the deal. I run a few things. Okay, nothing like the president. Let's say 1/100th. And I know how hard it is, even with good people, to get it done. I cannot imagine what it's like to have to sit there with traitors and spies and lies and saboteurs and what he's gotten done. We should just be, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's not about sycophantically praising Trump. I can't sit there and look at a man who's 73, who works harder than I can. And I'm literally burnt out. Okay. I mean, you want to say it, you know, I probably had a couple nervous breakdowns. Okay. Already. I don't know how he's doing this. Okay. So I just, it's too easy to look at the man in the arena, bloody, for us and the whole enemy against him. And then just say, and I'll bitch at him about things he needs to do. I just, when it comes to boosting the economy, he's done exactly what I would do.
Yes, sir. But the people that are benefiting the most, the middle class feels fantastic refreshing their 401k 50 times a day. However, the middle class is also in that herd mentality, and the vast majority of these people will absolutely lose all of the money that they poured into this stock market because of Trump's touting of these numbers.
And the globalists think if they take that 401k away, all those people are going to turn against Trump, and they're wrong. I appreciate your call. Trump took the fiat wrecked thing he had, and he put a new coat of paint on it, and he cleaned up a few things and put in a new battery, and he's just hoping it gets down the road so he can get innovations released. He inherited a burning hulk. And then he stood up to China and their screw jobs and said no and shut a bunch of it down and brought it back to us because it was all one-sided and did a fair deal, not reparations for 50 years of China having a one-side deal screwing us over. How about reparations? I mean, we deserve that. China, with the globalists that run it, have had one-sided deals, deindustrializing us, screwing everybody over the whole world. And Trump just came in and destroyed all of that. He lets India go after the Islamics that are killing the Hindus. Beautiful. I mean, you know, listen, when I actually get pissed at Trump, and it happens all the time because I get tunnel vision like you do, and I want to see him do the right thing on this or that, and then I sit back and I start looking at what he really did, and it's just like, my God, how do you do that? How do you do this? How do you carry that out? And I don't want to make this about Trump. In fact, this is something I've wanted to say for 2 years. But it would take a whole show to say it. I don't want my identity to be Donald Trump. I don't want your identity to be Donald Trump. Liberty and freedom cannot be all staked on this dude or me. They think the liberty movement is staked on Alex Jones. They know this audience, this operation, I'm the focal point, is relaunched Liberta worldwide. So they want to demonize me, shut me down, attack me, make me give up, so they can then say, oh, look, we destroyed their champion. as long as you realize that my destruction is our empowerment, and I'm not asking for it, but I mean, if it needs to happen, so be it. It's just that is not an enemy victory. The attack on this operation is a sign of our prowess and our devastating success with truth against their operations. So again, the critic can look at the man in the arena all day long and say how he should have done better. You know a man by his enemies. And Trump has the enemies of somebody that should be supported. And that's where I stand, and that's what I have to say about that whole situation. But I think it's fine for you to call in and criticize the president. Of course the numbers are cooked. That's baked into the cake. He's riding the horse or the tiger or the bear or the bull that he was given. And you really can't fault a man doing that, fighting with what he's got. All right, let's go to Andrew. Is that Andrew or Andre? My eyes are going out. Andre and New York are on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, you got it wrong again. I called once and you said Andre. It's Andrea.
Okay, how thank you. I just can't read the thing. My eyes are going out.
No, that's okay. So listen, you know, it's so funny because I'm calling from New York and I totally disagree with your first caller. But the reason why I'm calling is because I'm frustrated like you. I've been doing business with China for 20 years. And I specifically have been doing business with this one gentleman that came from China. And him and I got close because we were both young and we were both starting out a new business. And I became friends with him and I went back to work with him a few years ago. And in our showroom, we're in the apparel industry. In 2016, he was all for Trump. He told me China hated Obama. Okay. Couldn't stand Obama, wanted Trump to win. And I just find it very interesting that the left is, you know, blaming him for with the tariffs and with everything else, because he knew what he was walking into. He has that experience. He knows what's going on. When he says President Xi is a friend of his, they have a culture. They're saving face. When this happened after the tariffs, I knew right away. And he also told me one thing that nobody's mentioning. Every 100 years, something goes on in China. And my boss at the time in 2016 told me in 2020, something is going to happen according to the Chinese beliefs. So whether it was done purposely, not done purposely, I believe I follow you. I think
it's totally purposeful.
I'm tired of everybody trashing Trump because Trump didn't need to do this. Okay, he did it. He was called on to do it. He's doing a great job. And I like to see everybody else go up there and do what he is doing. And that's what I want. And I think you're doing a fantastic job, too.
Well, I'm sorry that I got your name wrong repeatedly. I used to have 2015 vision, then it was 2020. They're going to have to move that screen closer. My eyes are going out of 46, man. It's like stuff starts breaking. I used to have teeth that I could bite through anything. Now they're like breaking off. Now, getting old, it's okay. Getting ready to join the Lord in about 50 years, man. And right when this body rots and falls apart, that spirit's going to go to the next level. Just made the jump into hyperspace. Follow every possible trajectory.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
Well, I thought the day I met you, you were...
We've been here 3 hours, and American Airlines sucks. They decided, for whatever reason, to screw everybody on this flight. It just frustrates me that some industries just get to screw you over and go, nah. You got to fly at some point, right?
And it's Gustavo. That's a TYT viewer.
And I'm hungry and I'm tired. And so, like, you know me, I get more agitated when I'm hungry and tired. So, look, if you guys think this is bad, wait till if that plane doesn't actually come from the hangar in 20 minutes.
Is the flight coming?
Come on.
Supervisor, is the flight coming? Supervisor, you at least got to be honest. Is there a flight? Is there a plane? You got to be honest. Is there a plane? Is there a plane? Where's the plane? Where's the plane? Is there a plane? Where is it? Where's the plane? No, but listen, if we just sit here and take it, they'd have us here until 6 in the morning, and then they'd f*** us even harder, okay? So I need to... You're a supervisor, aren't you? Where's the plane?
Sorry, I'm not going to answer your question.
No, I know, because I've been here for 4 hours. Don't give me this. Where's the plane? Here, I got a question for you. When did you make the decision that we weren't going to have a plane? When did you make that decision? Who made the decision? Who made the decision that we weren't... It's funny to you, right? It's not funny to us. Who made the decision? Who made the decision?
That's fair.
Who made it? Well, who is it then? That's what I'm asking. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Is there a crew? Is there a crew? Is there a crew?
By yelling, we're not going to be able to answer your question.
Okay, let me whisper it. Is there a crew? Is there a plane or a crew?
Flight 204, your plane is already on its way from the hangar.
No, 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 but they told us that 4 hours ago. Is it actually coming?
Lie after lie.
Is it actually coming? Because I literally heard it was coming from the hangar 3 hours ago.
Now he tells you, though, who he really loves. He doesn't attack the animals.
The benevolent dictator of the world, I would legalize bestiality where you are giving, where you are pleasuring the animal.
My guys,
you see what I'm saying?
I see what I'm saying. That guy's got some creepy lips, man. He talks about a dictator that wants to have worldwide legalized bestiality to pleasure animals. And see, it's almost evil to even cover what he's doing. Like, I never thought about pleasuring animals. And then, like, there's this big, fat, gross dude that defends Nazi collaborators and says, I'm the worst person in the world. But that he's doing all this. Okay, we've got huge coronavirus news. Mike Adams pops in at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to come right back, and I'm going to go to your phone calls as quickly as possible. These are all great callers. But Judy and Austin and Robert and Hobbs and Carlos and Bob and John and Tim and Chase. Chase always calls in if it's not first-time callers. That's fine. So everybody can call in today. Agree, disagree, and we can cover whatever topics you want. So that's all coming up. And then I guess I'll just do this at the start of the next segment. I'll talk about some personal things that have gone on with me that are interesting and that you should know about here first before the spin doctors have had their chance to have fun with it. And I don't want to tell them, but there's no such thing as bad press. And just because they put out fake stuff doesn't hurt us because people know they're a bunch of liars. Because I'm going to tell people the exact truth when I come back. So get ready for that on the other side. Psh, don't tell anybody we're talking about it, all right? So I love how the corporate media will just ignore whatever I say on a topic, even though it's about me, and just say they're lie. But you hear it, and then you promulgate it. And without you, I am so dead in the water. But that's okay, because the Alamo went down in flames as well. And I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm not afraid of it. And I kind of am looking forward to it. Why not enjoy? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Infowars.com. The destiny of humanity's beacon.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time, sooner or later.
All right, welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host, into the second hour, taking your phone calls on this live March 10th Tuesday transmission. We have Mike Adams popping in at the bottom of the hour with huge news. Is he right in saying this? What the model show in Europe, it's what Israel and Italy are doing. Breaking new analysis reveals President Trump must lock down the USA just like Italy in order to break the chain of exponential spread of coronavirus. All air traffic and road traffic must be halted. I'm not saying that. That's what the math shows, according to Mike, who's been dead on so far. And boy, I sure hope he's wrong now. So that's coming up. And we'll just continue with your calls after that. I'm about to go to your calls here in a moment. Now, that said, I want to not just get ahead of something, but I actually enjoy talking about this because it was quite the experience to see what's going on in this country and to go through it myself. Now, I talked about this on air quite a bit, that I've been a heavy drinker at times, not drunk at times, probably went more than 4 months just last year not drinking at all. And I've certainly gotten to the point where I don't have more than a beer or a glass of wine and drive a car, because then I know that I will never blow above 0.8. And I've had police pull me over, and I'm totally honest. Yeah, I had two beers about 2 hours ago at a Mexican food restaurant or whatever. And talk to me and that's it. Well, last night I'd been out at a Japanese restaurant with my wife and got this little bitty tiny bottle of sake. I mean, just, it's a little bitty shot glasses of it, but it's just a tiny little bottle of sake, maybe 16% alcohol. She didn't drink a lot of it. We didn't even finish it. I drank probably half of it. We go home later, need something from the store. I drive out. Lights turn on, pulls me over, says, oh, you match the description of a black car. We heard some domestic dispute in the area. I go, okay, well, how was I speeding? He goes, yeah, 5 miles over the speed limit. Need you to get out of the car. So I get out of the car, and he says, have you been drinking? And I said, yeah, about 2 hours ago, I went and ate at a Japanese restaurant and had a small bottle of sake with my wife. And he says, all right. Then he starts having me do these, what do you call them? Sobriety check. Where you stand on one foot and look at the other for 10 seconds. He shows me what to do, and he can't do it, and goes, oh, well, that's my weight. That's my belt did that. So I start laughing. Then I knew I wasn't being mean. I was just like, so I did it, but I was wobbling at 10 seconds. And he goes, well, that's it. You're going to jail. And I said, man, I just told you I had hours ago alcohol, probably not even in my body. And he said, well, you failed this part. I said, were you going to breathalyze me? He goes, no, they do that at the jail. So we got there in like 20 minutes. They go in, and they have me blowing. They go, keep blowing. So I leave, and they put me in the tank. A next guy comes through. He goes, I heard Alex Jones is here. He goes, there he is, Alex Jones. He goes, they're all in there saying that you literally don't have any alcohol in your blood at any level. They can barely even pick up, and you shouldn't be here. This is crazy. Why are you here? And it wasn't until I got out this morning that I actually got the paperwork, and that's what's really weird. Is that there were two guys in there getting tested, hearing that basically alcohol didn't even show up. And I'm not saying a conspiracy here. I'm not saying the police are out to get me at the local level. But still, the level they had was below the law and legal. So, there you go. But when you see this hit the news, and I welcome the publicity. Look, bring it. It'll be Jones arrested for DWI. And then whatever, Sandy Hook, and he attacked, you know they're going to put that in there. Sandy Hook denier arrested. And be like, well, you got arrested for Sandy Hook. I mean, that's what they always say. And it'll just be some wild-ass stuff, and I wanted you to hear it up front, because I was being told this by folks that came out of there going, yeah, they were talking about Alex Jones is here, and he didn't, the first test showed no alcohol, and they couldn't believe it. And wait, it's him. So they kept having me blow and blow and blow and blow, and I was like, and I mean, because I'm a big guy, man, a little bitty bottle of wine at least 2 hours before. And I'd been at home in the hot tub drinking. I mean, I did not have zero buzz, just zero. And I'm like, dude, you can't stand on one leg like you just wanted me to. I did it better than you did. And he had this light in my eyes and all this other crap. And man, he'd sit there with a light over there to the side, like just for a minute, and I'd finally get tired and go, oh, involuntary. I'm like, no, dude, I'm not going to stare for 1 minute at your light pin. So he wanted me, and he got me. But then I learned from the jail guards, they go, no, Travis County had the lowest level of arrest in the country, or in a country. It used to be the Lone Star State in Texas. And so they had all this heat pull on them. I pull up the articles, it's true. And so now it's not that deputy that did this. It's just they pull you over and you're truthful and go, yeah, I had two beers a couple hours ago. You're arrested. Doesn't matter. It's legal. So all these restaurants and all these bars in Texas and all over the country, you can't, they'll sell you beer. They'll sell you wine. They'll sell you liquor. You can't drink one drink. And I've been reading about Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You can't do this anywhere in the country now. One drink. They don't care if you're below the amount. Now, he gets beaten in court, but it's insane, folks. They're now arresting people and taking them to jail, and they're continuing prosecutions that show zero alcohol. I've got news articles on that. So this will just be a huge another thing. But you know what? I didn't even want alcohol when I started back on New Year's drinking some more. And so I'm going to have that power over them that I'm going to 100% quit so that they can never again. But, man, it's weird. You go to a restaurant, they're like, hey, want wine, want beer? And you can't have one. The bottle of sake was this tall between two people. And let me just show you. Hell, we're the show me show here, you know, like Missouri. Let me show you right here. Dr. McCam shot, please. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Here is my alcohol test right here. Two of them they put on there. 0.076. It's 0.08. The one, and so they even lowered it. And that's like one beer, basically. And then 0.079. They kept testing, but that's the best ones they could get right there. So, Alex Jones, there's your takeaway. Innocent. Alex Jones arrested for DWI and was below the legal limit. But when they put it out in the news, it will be the exact opposite giant fiasco that I was, you know, murdering children and running around with sickles, chopping people's heads off and burning down houses with canisters of gasoline and snorting 14-foot lines of cocaine and shoving bottle rockets up my rear end. I mean, by the time they're done, it's just going to be, oh, he's arrested. Ah! But for me, what was crazy is the cop goes, I'll do a demonstration. He goes, and then you just for 10 seconds, you do this. And he could. He goes, oh, sorry, my belt was a. Dude, it's hard to sit there and step on one foot with the other foot an inch off the ground and look at your foot. You try it. I was doing it this morning, and I was having trouble. I did it better at 10 o'clock at night going to get ice cream. So I can't wait, even if they try to continue, because when you're under the law, it gets thrown out. But if they even try to continue claiming some sobriety deal, that's great, because I'll just have the cop on the squad car video unable to do it for 3 seconds. He's the guy's in good shape, by the way. I'm like, dude, you can't. Later in the car, I'm like, you can't do that. Oh, my belt was. Oh, give me a break, dude. I did deadlifts yesterday. It was 10 o'clock at night. I've been in a hot tub. I've been doing other things, too, you know, with the old lady. I mean, I was relaxed. I was tired. I went out to get Bluebell ice cream, and, you know, this stuff's going on. But listen, it's okay. I don't blame that guy, because that's mothers against drunk driving. You know, used to, the alcohol limit was like three times what it is now. But now, ladies and gentlemen, I want drunk drivers arrested. I want illegal aliens plowing folks over arrested. But citizens, here's the thing. Restaurants should not be allowed to sell alcohol if these laws continue. You shouldn't be able to serve somebody a beer. If they drink that 16-ounce beer and walk out, they're going to go to jail. So I called for all restaurants and bars to be shut down. Seriously. Because you can't go in one and have two beers and then not go to jail. So, hey, I'm ready for the mainstream media attention. Bring it to me, because the listeners know you're a pack of lying scum. Travis County, great folks. We understand you got a quota. It's okay. Plus, I told you I only had that small amount.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, I got one rule today going to calls. I want to talk about me or the story I told about last night, any of it. I want to move forward with this coronavirus and the clear fact that it is a bioweapon meant to disrupt the U.S. economy. The hype around it is the weapon. How deadly the virus is, that's open for discussion. But you could hypothetically all day talk about just shut everything down. Don't even have humans alive. You won't have any coronavirus problem. All right, who's been holding the longest? Is it Judy? Is it Austin? Is it Robert? Is it Hobbs? Is it Carlos? Who has been holding the longest? Let's talk to Joe in New Jersey and then Carlos. Joe, thanks for calling.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, brother, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, the supply chains are collapsing coming into China, and we're relying on so much, as Tucker Carlson had said. I think there needs to be a real patriot infrastructure side of what Trump's trying to do to bring small businesses together, and they can find each other in a very easy way, kind of like you know, if I'm looking for the greatest supplements, I'm going to InfoWarsStore.com and find the supplements I need. But if I'm looking for somebody to maybe manufacture something, send me regional meat, as in pigs or cows, there's nothing like that. And to set that infrastructure up, we need a big platform, and it can be done very simply, but, you know, there needs to be a platform to move that out.
Well, we do need to have more small companies, more infrastructure, and globalism has been designed to shut that down. Big tech works around the clock to buy up small companies, but also suppress them and censor them. So that's a really good point, Joe. I appreciate your call. Carlos in Canada, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Alex. Basically, two points. One I'd like to make at the end with regard to President Trump, very brief. The first is when I heard about the coronavirus, the first thing I realized is that it was a virus, and we should not be afraid of viruses in general. They're always with us. They're part of our microbiome, if you want to call that a virome. And it's part of our very existence. We couldn't exist without viruses. Now, having said that, the novel coronavirus COV-19, when imaged, it features with SARS and MERS. So, yes, I do agree that this is conceivably an artificially made, possibly and likely made, virus. But it is still a coronavirus. And I would like to concentrate, if possible, Alex, on how, as a human being, we can deal with coronavirus. The first thing we should know is that the temperature of the nasal passages are lower when you're elderly, when you're weakened by a lack of vitamin D, when you're in a position of just being chilled. So elderly people and people taking care of those who they love, elderly and weak, should have their feet very, very warm at all times. Get wool, get cotton socks, wear at night, and take a daily shower and gargle once a day. That will give you a few hours of potential protection against the contact with the coronavirus. The coronavirus is extremely tiny. It's carried by smoke particles. So you have to understand that if this thing is artificially created, they needed a place to release it where the population was very dense. China is a very good place to do it. Gaza in Israel is another very good place to test these sort of viral transmissions. And so I would suggest that if you have elderly people and you want to protect them, remember that they have to be given a means of boosting their immune system, and also to be kept clean and to be warm, especially in the lower areas, because the hypothalamus is right behind the nose, about an inch above the roof of your mouth, and that controls your body temperature. The runny nose reaction and fevers are the body's reaction to a virus that is trying to spread. It usually begins from the nasal passages onwards. So that's what I have to say, Alex.
And it's also good. I know companies are coming out with iodine that is put into the nasal passage, mixed and diluted, and also things like nanosilver. And obviously, I'm not going to be a medical doctor here and give advice. I know that's some of your background. You're a smart guy, Carlos. You're a longtime caller. But let me ask you this question. What do you think the real thrust of it is? Because clearly all the leftist groups, Hollywood, big tech, Austin, Texas, Italy, now run by globalists, are all hyping it like it's the end of the world and saying it's Trump's fault. Is that just political hijacking, or was this launched and planned to do this from the beginning?
To tell you the truth, it's more sinister than that. You know, I do analysis. And what we have is a group of people that have been around President Trump. They've been around other presidents as well. But these people want war. They want World War III. And they are, in fact, this coronavirus is a very good preparation for people to get used to body bags, to seeing, you know, coffins everywhere.
Exactly. It puts us into a war footing, a crisis mode at a war.
What I think it is that some people wanted World War III to have already started, to have the blockage of the oil transit through the canals. So that they would in Iran, so that they would have been the Straits of Hormuz, by the way, so that they would be able to generate a shortage of petrol, fuel, etc. And just
well, I was about to say, why is it hitting Iran so hard, even harder than South Koreans or Chinese, where it showed up at? I mean, who knows what's being released in the name of coronavirus?
It's very sad, Alex, because if you look at in history, that if you transpose the countries that were involved in World War II and you just move it over, it's almost the attitude is the same. But if you look at the same players, look at it. Germany now is Russia, the enemy. Russia is now China on the other side, you know? And Iran would be like Italy or some, you know, other country that was involved in World War II. And basically, these people, I believe you can name names if you want, but these people essentially want to provoke world war, and they want to provoke it for the intentions that they know best, is that is control of a world population.
Because the globalists believe they have a right to rule. Thank you, Carlos. Great call. All right, let's jam in one more before we go to break. Let's go to Austin, Louisiana. Austin, Louisiana, go ahead.
Alex, I've been listening to you since 2008, freshman in college. It's a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You know, we've been talking about the various agendas and the things that the New World Order is able to push forward with the coronavirus. But the other day when you were talking about Trump and looking initially, I guess the angle of him being poisoned. And, you know, I think about the only possible way that the New World Order, that the elites can take out Trump, can assassinate him without him being a martyr. And it's this. It's the coronavirus. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah, it hit CPAC. Oh, it hit Trump. They're all dead. Ah!
Bingo, right there. And then he's additionally, he's the figurehead to initiate every single protocol and vaccine and agenda that they need to roll through.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm not trying to put Trump down, but he's looked really bad the last 2 weeks.
Exactly.
He looks deflated. He looks sick. He looks haggard.
You're exactly right. Yeah, and you know, and another piece real quick. You know, I spent a lot of time.
Hold on. Austin, don't hang up. I'm going to finish up with you. The Mike Adams is popping in for just a segment, and then right back to your calls. And I'm getting good at the calls, getting better. Bam, 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 your calls. I wonder what Austin has to say on the other side, and everybody else at Infowars.com/show and Newswars.com and Band.video. Glorious sights in the fight for freedom.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I'm just an average man with an average life. I work from 9 to 5.
Nature of the internet is now everything you do is watched, integrated together, and the communist Chinese are now the saviors all over the world. They're going to teach us how to surveil people and keep everybody safe. Your calls are coming up next segment. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com is popping in. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Mike, you've got a really scary article up at naturalnews.com. It's also posted on Infowars.com. Breaking: new analysis reveals President Trump must lock down the USA just like Italy in order to break the chain of exponential spread of the coronavirus. All air traffic and road traffic must be halted. But, Mike, whether that's true or not, let's get into that. The borders have been wide open forever. The bubonic plague and drug-resistant TB is coming in, and in Ebola potentially. We're not supposed to worry about that. I'm not saying the virus isn't dangerous. I get the globalists have created a huge hype around it. Clearly, you were right and I was right and those were right that it was going to be a big move against the U.S. economy and weaponized against Trump, and that he didn't understand that. That's all been proven right. So I hope you're wrong about this latest analysis. Tell us about it.
Well, you're exactly right. We have to block the borders, too. In fact, in that article, if you continue, it says we have to block all international air traffic coming in, and we have to block all cross-border traffic, especially with Mexico. Now, look, here's where this comes from. The good news, you know how people keep saying, well, why can't you talk about good news? So we created a publicly downloadable spreadsheet to run pandemic projection scenarios. And that's up on Natural News. It's in an article. You can download the spreadsheet. You can change the numbers and you can run your own scenarios. We've had over 5,000 people just download that. It's free. It's an open source spreadsheet. Now, if you run all the various scenarios, different R-naught values, different what's called social distancing suppression factors, different mortality rates and so on. If you run all those scenarios, Alex, the only thing that actually works to stop the exponential spread is extreme lockdown. In fact, and I'm not saying that I advocate this because of the liberty, the civil liberties issues. I don't want to be locked down. I don't want to have medical martial law. But guess what? It's already begun. Governor Cuomo just announced the National Guard is deployed. Now, medical martial law has begun in New York as of about an hour ago. That has just happened. There's an article up on Zero Hedge right now about that. So it has begun. The point is Italy will break the cycle of this. So Italy locked down the entire country. In 3 to 4 weeks, Italy's new infections will plummet to close to zero. Now, remember how we said in the United States, we will have by July 4th, if we don't change course, we'll have 2.1 million deaths in America. I calculated, and you can do it yourself in the spreadsheet, if we have a 25% suppression of social spreading, then that number drops to 1.1 million. But Alex, if we have a 50% reduction, or with an R value, an R naught value of 2.4, then the number of deaths drops to just 1,300. We can get the deaths down from millions to just a few thousand, but it requires massive lockdowns, quarantines, locking down cities, locking down the entire country, stopping all air traffic, stopping all road traffic. I'm not saying that I want that to happen.
Sure, Mike, these models show, but using, and I'm not, it's the numbers we've got, using what numbers of death rate? How do we quantify those numbers and their provenance?
That's a 2% mortality rate, and you can change that number yourself in the spreadsheet. So you can play around with 0.5% or 1% or whatever number you want. But the point is the actual mortality rate isn't that big of a factor compared to the social distancing suppression rate. Now, if the virus has an R-naught value of 6.0, which some scientists believe it does, then according to this model, you have to have an 83%, that's 83% stopping of new infections in order to keep this from going exponential. So how do you get an 83% blocking or suppression of new infections? You go Italy style. You do what Italy did. You lock down the whole country. Again, Alex, I'm not saying that I want this to happen. I'm saying that this is what the math tells us must happen. And if we don't go that route, if Trump just does nothing and says it's all going to be fine, then by the end of May, the hospitals are overrun. And then we have a national healthcare crisis that is way worse than having everybody stay home for 3 to 4 weeks. So you have to break the cycle of the exponential spread. And in effect, Italy has made a legitimate decision that will save millions of lives down the road for Italy.
So,
I now see it.
Mike Adams, let me ask you this question. I go back to it. Lancet had a small sample, said 15% dead or whatever. We now know that's overblown. Now we're looking at 2%. It just keeps going down and down. You got a bunch of sick people that are already going to the hospital. Well, they're the ones that are really sick. So it's a widespread virus, the evidence shows, just like the flu. So some are going to die. Well, the folks showing up and getting tested because of lack of testing kits, it's going to create the false number of a high number of dead. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. What do you think?
Well, the death rate in Italy is now about 5% because Italy has a strain that has a much higher fatality rate, and Italy is doing good testing. So a lot of this depends on which mutation you get, and since it's spreading uncontrolled
in America. Wow, so 5%, that's horrible.
Well, right. And the other thing, Alex, and I appreciate you playing devil's advocate. We need to question each other on this. I really appreciate this process. But if the hospitals get overrun, which could happen late May, then the death rate skyrockets to 5, 10, 15%. So you have to keep the number of people out of the hospitals. You have to make sure the hospitals don't get overrun. Otherwise,
you've got to gear up for it like it's really serious. And I think you're right. They're saying, I saw that. They think it's about 5% in Italy. That is just doomsday level. I mean, 5%, folks, that will just devastate stuff, create total hysteria. But you're pointing out that them locking things down has now slowed the spread from where that was originally happening.
We now see in the models the lockdowns work. So people keep asking me for solutions. I know they're probably asking you too. Why are you always talking about the problem? Talk about solutions. Okay, guess what? You're not going to like the solution, folks. It's a lockdown. It's medical martial law, and it's already begun in New York. That's the solution. That's actually what ends this virus in America. You could stop it in 30 days, but it's going to be 30 days of hell. Okay? So that's the truth. That's the reality. That's why China did it. That's why Italy is doing it. That's why South Korea is doing it. Everywhere they do lockdowns and massive quarantines, you start to see the numbers really taper off. Now, we have two futures to choose from here in America. A future where by the summer you have millions of Americans dead. That's if you do nothing. Or a future where you only have a few thousand people dead. That's if you have massive lockdowns. Those are the only two futures here
in the short term. But then if you're right, I mean, the bad scenario is correct, which I know you're just wargaming. If that scenario is correct, then they'll say, oh, it was all a hoax because we saved all the people. I've always noticed when we do the right thing and warn people, then those that warned of it and stopped the crisis, oh, we were just fearmongers.
Well, look, they're never going to say anything nice about us no matter what we do. My goal here is to try to
Mike. Well, you certainly called that it was going to be really big for the economy and that it was going to be that Trump was going to get blamed for this. And they're doing it. They're like white on rice right now.
Well, the upshot is, look, the CDC had just announced a few hours ago that this outbreak is totally uncontained in certain areas now. And that's Seattle.
We said that 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. We said it's uncontained. It's broken containment. That was the headline.
Yeah, exactly. InfoWars had that a month ago. And now the CDC is telling people over 60 to start stockpiling food. That was Nancy Messonnier yesterday. Start stockpiling food if you're over 60 and be ready for an extended quarantine. She's giving out hints.
Well,
Alex,
I totally agree with you. If you're over really 65 or 70, you damn well better quarantine during this because the numbers are clear on that. You're rolling the dice if you're 70 years old or so.
Well, the truth is now everybody needs to prepare to be in isolation.
I was looking at my dad last night talking to him, and I just love him so much. And he's, you know, overall healthy guy, but man, he's 70 years old, and I just don't want that sweetheart. My mom, she's so awesome. You're damn right. The numbers are clear. Let's briefly, I know you got to go, but I want to do 5 more minutes. We'll go to the callers. Well, Mike, do this. Join us tomorrow as soon as you can, or come on the War Room with Owen or David Knight. And I know they really want to get you on. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, I got Austin, I got Robert, I got Hobbs. Hobbs is up next after Austin. I got Steve, I got Bob, I got John, I got Tim, I got Chase, I got Judy. We're going to everybody, including Judy. She's actually up next. But first, a special report I just cut.
Just 6 weeks ago, President Trump won the trade war against the communist Chinese. And I said on air, they're getting ready to strike back. Then President Trump came out and announced that coming up on April 15th, he would launch a new huge tax cut for the middle class that would be sure to supercharge our economy even more. Well, the deep state has struck back, and they admit they're openly trying to tank our economy.
Panic attack. The coronavirus has unleashed a wave of panic across the country, evidenced by runs on hand sanitizer and face masks.
Breaking news, markets just opened and down 1,700.
Here in the United States, 607 cases, 26 deaths in 36 states.
Some members of Congress in self-quarantine.
We are at a critical moment with governments around the world taking action and companies canceling travel and cities calling off big public gatherings.
The Dow headed for its worst single-day point loss since
the Great Recession and the financial crisis.
The biggest one-day point drop ever.
With stocks falling more than 2,000 points.
The largest tech companies, including Apple, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, and Amazon, wiping out more than $320 billion in value.
The coronavirus weighs on demand. When factories are closed, people aren't traveling, consumers aren't out and about.
I want to get a sense of what the odds are that this tips us into recession, and how should the government respond?
This is not a great number for President Trump. You see here his approval rating on handling of coronavirus is 41%.
Every hour, every day, you can feel the spread of the virus.
Here's the deal. This is why we're panicked.
There's a place called Hard Labor in Georgia. Yes, it's a former prisoner camp for slave labor. And now the governor has announced the state police are setting up a camp for people that test positive for the coronavirus. the hysteria that we predicted 6 weeks ago that we witnessed in China has now been exported to the United States. And the whole thing is a giant fraud. The whole thing is a huge big pharma, deep state, Chi-Com hoax.
The state is also working to get another space ready, if needed, like Hard Labor Creek State Park. That means there would be places to care for and house patients possibly exposed to coronavirus. This park is in Morgan County. It's more than 5,000 acres, but the state is going to block off a section for potential patients. The governor stressed that this is an example of being ready and cautious. The hope is that it wouldn't have to be used. As of now, there are no plans to transfer any patients to the park. The state's even put in 7 emergency trailers and needed supplies ready there at that location. More materials are also on the way.
When I say it's a hoax, many will say you're the first people to raise the alarm and say this is incredibly dangerous. But if you go back to the articles and the reports and the live shows we did with top experts from around the world, including the author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law and many others, it was the fact that it was a man-made virus transferred by Obama and Homeland Security in 2015 to China, and that it's a chimera, at least 4 different viruses spliced together with the HIV delivery system in it.
Wuhan scientists took the North Carolina SARS with gain of function, which is already a biological warfare weapon, and they took the technology here behind this well-developed SARS HIV weapon, and they all brought it back to the Wuhan BSL-4 and tried to DNA genetically engineer it into a chimera, into a biological warfare weapon involving the coronavirus, the HIV virus, and gain of function. Gain of function work can only be done safely in a BSL-4 or a BSL-3 facility. So I think clearly this is the smoking gun, and there is no legitimate scientific or medical use for gain of function technology, DNA technology on biowarfare agents.
So there's no excuse that it's a vaccine test that got out.
That's baloney. This is clearly an offensive biological warfare agent.
So this was always China incubating the weapon there, transferring it here, using our open free society as a way to spread it, and then having the media and the left hype a stock market crash, something Bill Maher and CNN and MSNBC and all of them said they hoped the coronavirus would cause just a few weeks ago. And now that it is, they're openly celebrating all of this. So now our predictions of 6 weeks ago have come true out of the words and deeds of the establishment itself, because all their tactics to bring America to its knees and to punish us for electing Donald Trump.
I've been hoping for a recession. People hate me for it, but yeah, it would get rid of Trump, so you shouldn't hate me for it.
I mean, recessions are really bad. People lose their jobs and their
homes, know.
And we shouldn't wish
it's for worth it.
But I mean, a recession's always possible. I don't see any particular reason to think that it's likely. I think, you know,
really,
that,
aren't we overdue for one just the cycle of economics?
This is such a misconception. People sort of feel like, oh, you know, well, about every 8 years or something, you're supposed to have it. Recessions don't come because they're due. Recessions come because there's some sort of overheating, something goes wrong in the economy.
But let's get to the biggest piece of evidence that this is all hyped up propaganda, that it's a way to stampede us like lemmings off the edge of a police state globalist financial cliff. We've pointed out for years under Obama and under Trump and under Bush before him that there is black plague and drug-resistant TB and so many other deadly diseases pouring across the southern border, and the Border Patrol's overwhelmed. Under Obama, they stopped even testing and just let people in and put them in schools next to your children. But oh, now, don't you worry. Those borders have got to stay wide open. Those flights got to keep coming in. But if you test positive at the doctor, why, we're going to lock you up in a prison camp. You don't leave the borders wide open. You don't protect the people coming in that could have had the virus and then wait till it spreads, wait till it incubates, and then tell everybody, oh, we've got to have highway checkpoints. We've got to shut the schools down. We've got to totally panic. And Ted Cruz has got to be a good virtue signaler and self-quarantine because he might have shook somebody's hand that might have had it. And now, of course, we learn President Trump was at CPAC, and he might have been close to the person that had it. He might have shaken their hand. This has hysteria written all over it. And now it's exploding, ladies and gentlemen. What is this story covering up? What other information is it smokescreening? Well, it came out 2 months ago that the UN's own top scientist admits vaccines are hurting people. There's a cover-up. Major court cases have just been won by anti-vaccine groups exposing the fact they've never had safe or effective studies and that they actually have secret funds to pay people off. All of this information is coming out about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and others who had a drill in November of tens of millions dead from the virus, and now they have a bunch of special testing systems they're going to send out to everyone so we can have as much hysteria as possible.
Today, the greatest risk of global catastrophe doesn't look like this. Instead, it looks like this. If anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus rather than a war. Not missiles, but microbes.
They intend to use this crisis that they've engineered to bring down President Trump and kill the American recovery. InfoWars has been dead on so far, predicting how big this crisis would be. The crisis is real. The crisis is huge because the coronavirus is the hysteria the media and governments need to create this wave of fear. How deadly is the virus itself? We still don't know. But as evidence mounts, it looks like the CDC didn't put out testing kits because it would have shown how many people already had it over a month ago and who hadn't died or who weren't sick. The CDC is working against Trump to first tell him it's not a problem so he would try to tell people it was okay. Then when he did that, they came out and said, oh, you didn't respond right. Now it's all your fault. You've also got three of the top CEOs resigning on Sunday night ahead of this. You've got all this other big, giant seismic action taking place. You've got indictments being announced for Hunter Biden and others. You've got Hillary now back under criminal investigation. And so the deep state with their client state, Communist China, is striking back right now.
Well, that's most of that powerful report that Rob Dew and I put together last night. Deep state using coronavirus fear and panic to destroy our country. We were up here. I was up here until 7 working on that. He was up here until 1 in the morning. Really important article on newswars.com with that video. Please share it. Deep state using coronavirus fear and panic to destroy our country. And again, we're chronicling with different guests every angle of it. That's why it's not one view or the other. It's all the views to really create a synergy and a college of ideas. Don't forget, we've got great nano silver products that are great for your body. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula is back in stock. DNA Force Plus, all 40% off. 3rd hour straight ahead. We've got loaded phone lines here, and I'm going to try to go to you as fast as I can now in the 3rd hour, and I'm Alex Jones, your host. Austin, Louisiana, you're making great points. You got cut short. Finish your point. Thanks for holding.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, so I worked at Apple over 5 years. I lived in Florida. I have a diverse friend group, so I'm no like a stranger to culture. But this past year, I have lived in Minnesota, and brother, I cannot believe, I'm a stranger in my own country. The Somali presence. You would not believe it. I've seen it firsthand.
Minnesota is now New Somalia.
It's absolutely unbelievable. There are certain towns where they have to absolutely take over the school board, the churches, the banks, and have these specific towns where they own every large specific business, and no one can buy property or business there. It's incredible.
It's an Islamic mafia.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And they're even part of our state representation there, representing our own country. You know, and last thing, I know you got other callers. I'd love to talk to the team potentially about some opportunities with music. I was a producer. I have music on Spotify and Apple and things like that. So I'd love to connect with you guys there.
All right, brother. That kind of broke up at the end, but thank you, Austin. Okay, let's go ahead and jam another call in. Who's up next here? Judy, thanks for holding in Florida. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. A story that has an ending. when you mentioned Merle Haggard, it made me think about John Denver. A few months before he died, I saw him in concert, and he sounded better than ever. And he was singing at a place called Wolf Trap Farm Park, which was a beautiful auditorium that my former in-laws used to refurbish the wood of, and I had box seats there. But the point of that is Smitty's Lumberteria, which was the lumber and hardware store that was building counties in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, went bankrupt in 2009 after what happened in 2008 with the housing freeze and credit freeze. And it's now a massive Chinese grocery store. And I got a taste firsthand of what that crash actually meant when I thought I was actually going to have the condo that I had as part of my retirement income. That's how I wound up in Florida. And it was really humbling last week to hear you mention Hillsborough and Manatee County as being these places that were infected with the coronavirus. And I think it was last week, because those are the counties that my son and I live in.
Yes, it was.
And, what I call all of this is war. I don't think that China is done with us yet, and I do think that the reason why President Trump looks haggard right now is probably even more than you, and I think you and I both stare into the abyss. I think a lot of us that have minds do, that are, you know, Christians.
You're right. Trump's trying to read the enemy, and they're so evil, it gets to you. You can't lie about that.
Well, I think that he's blackmailed in ways. I think there are things that he knows that his hands are tied about.
Well, bigger than that, if he takes this out, it drops that. So it's not like you're even corrupt, but if you blow this up, it blows that up, that collapses this good thing. And once you get into this 3D chess, it's just insane.
Well, I mean, I told the screener that it was yesterday. I was at the gym, and I see Hillary and Obama, with impunity on the mainstream.
Oh, yeah. They're parading around, strutting around, pissing on us.
Yeah, and a former Green Beret, John Moore, was talking on the Hagman Report. I think you should have him on.
John Moore. Let's get John Moore on.
Yeah, I immediately. And he was talking about how she could come in as a compromise candidate, and I think that's what she's chomping on the bit to do.
John Moore's a good guy out of wherever, like Appalachia or wherever, I guess out of the Missouri, there in the, what do you call those, the Ozarks. But, I mean, we've been day one, not territorializing this, but we've been tip of the spear exposing that Hillary plans to run again. Doesn't mean she will, though. She wants to be in control of the party until the last minute. Thank you so much, Judy. We love you. All right, more calls 60 seconds away. Whatever you do, do not spread the live links to shows. Don't tell folks about InfoWars, because then we might win.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home, country roads.
Welcome back. You are listening to the dreaded, demonized, lied about InfoWars, scarred but stronger than ever, thanks to your prayers and support. Let's go ahead and go to the phone calls here as we try to get through all these great folks. Up next, holding the longest, would be, is it Hobbs or is it Steve or is it Robert? Is it Chris? Is it, I guess it's Bob in New York. Bob, thanks for holding her on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Love you, man. Sorry you had a bad night.
Oh, hey, it was good. I look for the attack that comes out of it. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. So listen, I called you a few weeks ago in the, it was before Corona, obviously, and you were asking people, what are they going to do next? What are they going to do next? And I came up with what we should do was a Million Man March. It sounds kind of silly now, considering how serious things are now. But, the callers, thank you for taking my call with allowing my free speech on your platform.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you for letting this platform exist. Seriously. Let me tell you, you thanking me is the is the tail wagging the dog. You are the dog, brother. You without the listeners, this dog don't hunt. So I want you guys to get that in your head, that thanking me, oh, great, yeah, we're on the same page. I love you too. But you have to understand, you're not just like some part. You're the engine, brother. You understand that?
I dig it. Woof, woof. I'm the dog, man. So we all are, you know? And
I am the tail. Now, the tail's cool and it wags and shows you what the dog's thinking. But think about it. You're the dog. The listeners and the supporters, you're the dog.
Yeah,
you're the eyes, you're the nose, you're the ears, you're the claws, you're the guts, you're the heart, you're the hair, you're the teeth. I mean, you're the will, you're the brain.
Well, thank you.
Tits. I mean, that take care of the next little puppy dogs. You're the people, man. You are the whole nine yards, brother. Go ahead.
Well, that's funny you say that because I think, number one, your beard gives your shoulders and chest symmetry, and your head is a beautiful tit. I love tits. Anyway, let's get it.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I know. I did as a stunt. I'm probably going to grow it back out. I can't look at myself.
No.
I'm just saying the whole dog does amazing things. And so to say I'm the tail is the truth.
Yeah.
So go ahead and finish up.
Well, when you let people on the show and they just come up with such ideas. I mean, the other day a guy said that, or 2 days ago, one day ago, that this is how they get the corona inside the Trump White House. You know, instead of an assassin, they get a virus in there, put it in CPAC. I had an argument with a buddy years ago about global quote unquote warming. How when the news networks start televising every raindrop for 3 days before the hurricane comes, and then they stay for 3 days. You know, it looks like there's some real catastrophic thing happening, and seems like that's what they're doing here. But
no, I agree. But the way the Chi-Coms had drills, and everywhere they had military drills in Italy, you know, it pops up. You know, they had little leftists going along with little air bottles, like shooting out the virus. You know it.
Yeah, this is uglier than we want to believe. And you know, Mike Adams is way on it. And so, I mean, we're sitting around waiting for Trump. I think Trump is going down in history just for exposing the mainstream media and the collusion between.
Oh, and standing up to him. I mean, he's definitely. Yeah. But what you just said is important. They arrested all these Chinese scientists trying to sneak vials in and vials out of weird stuff. They busted the head scientists at Harvard working for the Chi-Coms. Trump is rolling up their networks. They've launched this attack. And absolutely, that's what they're saying. Oh, there's more deadly versions popping up. Yeah, because the Chi-Coms are launching it. So then I start thinking, Mike Adams is right. We better just self-quarantine right now. Let me just tell the Chi-Coms something. Any of my family gets hurt, I'm going to hold them personally responsible. So just tell them. Go ahead, sir.
Mm. Yeah, and I said to another buddy, how do they beat Trump with this Joe Biden and Bernie? And they don't. Either they kill Trump or they kill 20 million voters. And,
exactly. That's it. They're not going to let him get in there. They're done. They're going to launch civil war and try to kill the president. I totally agree. God bless you. Bob was another powerful caller. Powerful Jedi. You have done well, Lord Vader. All right, let's go to Hobbs in Nebraska. Hobbs and then Robert and everybody else. Thanks for holding, Hobbs.
Alex, how we doing?
I'm good. I'm all over the map here.
All right, cool.
I had no sleep last night. I was in a lavish area.
I called at the end of the war room last night about an article that popped up by a group called the Network Contagion Research Institute about 3 days before all this coronavirus stuff popped off, and it kind of got lost in the sauce. It had to do with the so-called Boogaloo memes, and it's trying to make Second Amendment supporters out to be like the next Al-Qaeda, the next ISIS. It's a group funded by your typical who's who of globalist bad actors like the ADL, the Open Societies Foundation. The thing that really bothered me the most is that the podcast that I'm a part of is mentioned specifically, and my name specifically is also mentioned in a screen grab there. So, you know, these are some friends of mine that were most heavily featured in the article.
And now you've learned that because you've been effective, the globalist, the enemy, is watching you. Isn't that a fun feeling?
Yes.
Doesn't it kind of excite you, actually, to know that that scum, it knows you're breathing down their neck?
Yeah, actually, it does. I wear it like a badge of honor now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so my podcast is mentioned in one of the captions. It's Roads to Liberty. You can subscribe to us on pretty much any podcasting app. We're also over at thinkliberty.com. I'm actually kind of looking forward to see if this has any effect on me personally, because I'm also running for Congress this year. I'm on the ballot in the
Brother, race. I'll tell you this. When they told the Pentagon, the Army and the Marine Corps first, not to go to InfoWars, I later learned it was a psyop by patriots, not the top, but they knew how dumb the old globals were. Sir, Jones is dangerous. We want you to put out a command-level order nationwide to not visit InfoWars. Listen to him. I was like barely paying the bills and had a decent audience in like 1997. The audience tripled in 1 week. I was like, money just went because the military was all listening and buying everything. And that's, again, these globalists are like literally have had like 5 heart transplants and don't even know what planet they're on. And the people under them are like, sir, let's do this. It's like Dr. Kornbluth, remember the splash? And his assistants go, let's pee down his air hose. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying there's that Tyler Durden, or however you say it, Fight Club thing, that there's not just evil in the world, and people don't like the globalists. That's why they want computers in to control what you do, so you're a robot and follow computers' orders, so you don't have discretion in your life, so they can get away with all this. But look, we're not out of the woods. I'm not even saying we're winning, but we've just begun to fight, and we are kicking ass, brother. Hobbs, I appreciate your call. I got to move on here. That gets a lot of calls. Who's up next here? That would be John in Florida. John, thanks for holding it on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
As one of the great prophets once said it, the world is filled with kings and queens that will blind your eyes and steal your dreams. And thank God that we got you, Mike Adams, and the rest of the crew protecting all of us out here, brother.
We got to come in with that Black Sabbath tune now.
Slow down, don't play it. Hey, listen, brother, I just got to say what nobody else is saying, all right? In my heart, my gut feeling, you said follow your gut feeling? Dude, 100%, this is retaliation for taking out Soleimani. One way or the other, whether or not we took him out and they did it.
No, exactly. We killed the fake globalist Al-Qaeda network, and Trump's pulling out all these wars, and this is a Chi-Com attack right now.
Dude, whatever it is, people need to pray, protect themselves, love one another, and understand in this world there's only two kind of people, good people and bad people. That's all there is, brother. I love you, Alex. God bless you.
But don't hang up, John. I'm going to come back, because you can take something like the name of a band, Black Sabbath, and then some songs are evil. Some songs are actually very Christian about God comes back, destroys the devil. I mean, listen to some of those Ozzy songs, the early ones. It's like he had said later, I'm actually a Christian. I was told the record companies be a Satanist for money. And I know people that know Ozzy, I'm not defending Ozzy. The point is, but if you listen to Roddy James Dio's Black Sabbath, we're going to play the song when we come back, or part of it. The world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's heaven and hell. And they'll tell you black is really white. The moon is just the sun at night. It's a key passage we're going to play when we come back in your phone calls. You want it. You got it. Yes, exposing the globalist plan from the inside. It's heaven and hell with Roddy James Dio. Here it is, warding off the devil. Listen to it. Everything is the opposite of what you've been told. By the time the devils will see those fake preachers, you'll see those Democrats telling you they're going to empower you. Now look at me. Look at capitalism. And they'll tell you black is really white.
And they'll tell you black is really white. The moon is just the sun at night. And when you walk in golden halls, you get the king of the falls. It's heaven and hell. Oh, no. Oh, oh. You got to bleed for the
for the answer. The answer. The truth. All right, John in Florida, you brought that up. You got it. You just got what you wanted right there.
Ronnie is smiling at you from the grave. Ronnie is helping us all, brother. I love you, Alex.
So, what's your point? You're making some great points on the virus in Wuhan and where this... I mean, this is admittedly a weapon. It's admittedly an attack on America. And all the Democrats, everybody rooting for the country to go down, it's like it should be over. They're not even a party anymore when you do that. It's like ridiculous. Imagine if I went on air and went, I hope this virus destroys America and screw everybody. I hope everybody loses their 401ks. I hope we go bankrupt. And I hate America's existence. That's what Democrats openly say. How do they get away with it, John?
They don't get away with it, brother. That's why we got Patriots. That's why we got you guys waking us all up and keeping us safe. You guys are heroes to my household. You guys are heroes. God bless every single one of you.
In my household, you're heroes, man. We're all just defending ourselves.
Dude, it's crazy times we're living in. Everybody needs to love a little more, peace a little more. I mean, this is craziness what's going on. This is like the real deal is finally unfolding. And, you know, love each other, man. Don't hate each other. Love each other.
No, I agree. When I go to the store and stuff, there's just so much hate. And that's why now I just decided to, like, just try to be as loving as I can. But I try to be nice to checkout people. I give people tips. And then no one's ever been nice to them. They're like, you know, and I'm not trying to just, my wife's like, what are you doing? You don't have the money to be handing out $50 bills to stewardesses and bellhops. And I said, man, they just, none of it's trickling down. We got to do it. And that's what Trump's trying to do. And you can see they hate that. God bless you. I appreciate your call, John. Okay. Let's go to the next caller here. Let's go ahead and talk to Steve in Detroit. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Been standing with you a long time, about 20 years. Man.
Brother, you've been standing me up, and not in a bad way. I mean, you've literally been holding us up. Without you, I wouldn't be here. So thank you, brother. And thanks for keeping me in the fight. I want to tell the listeners every day, keep me in the fight. Is so. Thank you for keeping me in the fight, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Also, I have four quick bullet points, but before I go into those, I would like to plug some of your products. I have the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filter, the Alexa Pure Breeze, great products. Right now, paramount to have these items. Also, Survival Shield X2, Carnivore, and your Gut Fusion. I've had some gut issues, and these products have cleared that right up. So I wanted to make sure I got that out.
Well, let me just say this, Steve, because it's hard to talk about things like this on air, even if you're confident. Like, I'm confident, you're confident. I don't like to talk about it. But I've taken all our products. They're all revolutionary. They're all game-changing. And it's been sold out for a while. It's back in next week. 18-wheeler actually arrives tomorrow. But it is the natural defense and other products. All of these, the gut is the engine of the whole body. And, you know, the heart is the fuel pump, but the gut is where you get all the energy. And I knew all this stuff, and I'd read the research, but I never really actually took all of it. And, man, people go, like, Jones, you don't look great, but you look a lot better than you used to. What the hell? Your skin's glowing. You know, I mean, I look like a gorilla. And it's all because I take the products, and they just work. And people take them, and they go, I can't believe this works so well. Yeah, these are all missing link products. Sorry, I'm ranting. Go ahead.
Yeah, they've been instrumental in my recovery. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I got some neuropathy issues. I also DNA Force. It's helped a lot with my neuropathy issues in my gut. So moving forward, I want to get to these points because I don't want to take too much time away from the other callers here. Okay, we have Trump draining the swamp in his last quarter of his first term here. So we've seen him turning up the heat. And mind you, I started warning people about 3.5 months ago, start buying water filters, start buying non-perishable food items, because my intuition was going off, radar was going off. Okay, so you have Trump draining the swamp, and then you have Hillary and Comey and these other buffoons that are on paper, guilty of treason. I mean, they're chargeable at any time.
And we said, will they set a nuke off? Will they launch a war? Will they launch a bioweapon? They launched a bioweapon that Obama transferred 5 years ago to Xi Jinping.
Exactly, and that's what that's going to lead into my second bullet point. Okay, let's look into all those mass rounds of ammunition the Alphabet agencies bought. I think it was around the same time. Okay, so what I see
happened there is they went forward with a plan that was probably hatched at the Bilderberg meeting before that, and then sent that coronavirus to China. The Alphabet agency started buying up the night vision and the billions of rounds of hollow point ammunition. And I've also been saying for years that the only way that they're going to be able to take our firearms is release some kind of a bioweapon that makes us afraid to congregate with the.
That's exactly right. But the good news is the average cop, and I don't lionize them, they got some bad ones, but the average military person or police officer is not bad. And so that's why the globalists have a problem. It's why they want to go to drones. It's why they want to use bioweapons to lock us down. And it's why they want to be able to send people in at night to just wipe your house out like special forces would do. They say you're a terrorist. They just laws rocket or grenade your house. Well, they hunt us during the night. We hunt them during the day. So, you know, we don't want to hunt anybody. We don't want this civil war, and we don't hunt the police, and we don't hunt the military in a civil war. We go around them, if we ever get to that point, to the kingpins who are in the deck of cards who are running the show, and we know who they are. And it'll be their own security people in New Zealand and in Hawaii and in Montana and in Canada that I can just tell you, there's no conspiracy. I'm not in some meeting with people. They all are ready for when the globalists try to take America down. The first thing these globalists are going to get is garroted. They're all going to get a wire wrapped around their neck, and they're going to get killed in about 15 seconds. And I'm not, and the globalists know I don't just say stuff, okay? You're all dead, okay? So go ahead and fill your hand. Go ahead and play your game. You're dead. I'm dead too, but it's fine. Let's go. So they know how it is, and they're losing. So they want to use a creepy virus to scare us all so it's not people. But everybody knows what's happened. So if their virus is successful, all these globalists, not by my hand, I can just tell you, the people know who you are. They're sick of you, and they're going to break your neck. So get ready. They can't wait to wrap their hands around your dishonorable neck. Thank you, Steve. Bunch of calls straight ahead, and Paul Joseph Watson takes over from Britannia.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
Chase the Patriot. From California, you're on the air. Everybody's talking about the virus because it's definitely a big, giant hyped event, whether it's real or not, whether it's super deadly or not. This is going to be crazy. What do you think's about to happen?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's a real thing, but what the response is, that's the angles I've been trying to research. And there's a couple questions I have. You know, one is the fact that over and over I see a trend that this may be the last straw that breaks the camel's back towards cash. There's been a war on cash, on physical money for years, and now because of people so fearful of handshakes, any kind of exchange, this may be, and you see a trend in the news where they're saying Bitcoin is a way to invest because people trying to get their money out of China have to put it in the digital currency. You see the central banks, they're all going to meet in emergency meetings because they're saying they have an emergency they have to handle together in a global way. And then finally, you see they're actually quarantining the money that's coming from China, the physical money that's coming back into the United States. And so I see this trend of an attack on money. And here's one thing I got a question, though, Alex. A lot of my callers, they've been calling in and they're asking about the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. And when President Obama was allowing the propaganda to be put into just the general public, and now we see such a paranoia. People are confused. Nobody knows what to believe or where to look. And I really think that this is maybe that crisis that they're trying to use in the confusion to take away our rights for that tyrannical one world government. I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you know anything about the Smith-Mundt Act? What's
sure.
Going on here?
And 10 years ago, Obama got it legalized for the CIA to engage in propaganda domestically. It's just a shame. And again, it's not, I'm not defending the CIA when I say this. The CIA is just a government agency. It's like a glove. It's the globalist interests that are involved in the corporations and in the media and in the CIA. It's the globalists. It's the New World Order people. They're the ones that are involved in all this. God bless you. I appreciate your call, Chase. You always bring up amazing points. Okay, let's go ahead now and take another call. Let's go to Robert in North Carolina. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me on. Hey, there's two things that I think us as Americans really need to do. One, I think we need to repent of our sins and pray the blood of Yeshua over us, because I think this is the big move.
Oh, I mean, I agree. This is a spiritual battle. We better get close to God.
Yeah, Satan's making his move right now. The other thing is, I think we need to fast. And me personally, what I mean by fast is, Mike Adams hit it on the head. He has got the spirit, and he knows what needs to be done. We need to stop going out to dinner, stop going out to the ballpark, stop doing those things so that we can stop this virus that's coming. I mean, look at China, look at Italy, look at South Korea, look at Japan. Their houses are on fire, and it's not spreading fear. Just like your analogies, you know, if your neighbor's house is on fire, you know, you love your neighbor, you're a Christian. You go over there and say, hey, I see your back of your house is on fire. Do you need help putting it out? You love his children. You love your neighbor. Not only do you love them, but you love your own. You love yourself. So that fire is going to catch on to your house, too, if he doesn't put it out.
I agree with what you're saying. But then it's the Chi-Coms and South by Southwest and the Democrats and big tech saying this is the end of the world. They're the ones saying quarantine. They're the ones saying it's big, that it's real. And they're such liars. And I go, well, maybe it isn't very big then, if you're such liars and you're saying Trump hasn't done something. Right. I agree. Trump shouldn't be caught flat-footed, so in case it really is super deadly. But it's a complex balancing act. What do you think Trump should do?
Let's think what Satan is doing. Don't worry about Trump right now. Satan, it will tell you a lie, a lie, a lie, a lie, a lie, and then he'll slip in a truth. And that's the trick. My people will perish for lack of knowledge. And right now we need knowledge. We need scientists. We need Mike Adams. We need to know everything about this virus. Secondly, I think Trump needs to do is he needs to stop saying this is a regular flu. He needs to stop saying don't wear masks, because you don't get the virus through your hands. You get the virus through your nose, through your eyes, and through your mouth. Let's be real.
Well, sure. He knows that it's an attempt to create panic. So he's kind of one-dimensionally then saying, hey, don't do that. But I agree. He should be attacking the source of it. Who made it? Where did it come from? Why are the Chi-Coms blaming us when they're the ones that first released it? Great points, Robert. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next caller in line here. And that would be so many callers here, so many awesome callers. Jay in Seattle. Jay, thank you. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Hey, I have a suggestion. I think we need to catch them not looking. Every time they do this, they crash the economy, and then they buy everything up. And then they spread fear, and then they buy everything up. And I think they'd never see it coming.
Well, exactly. You just said the key. The globalists engineer the crisis like 2008. This is the new one. To crash all your money you put in, and they suck it back in. That's all this is.
Well, and people haven't gone back in. You know, they've been trying to coax everyone back into the market, and all their wealth is in the market. And so they're willing to hurt themselves in order to hurt us so they can buy everything up. But if we just turn around and buy what we can afford, we'll buy all the shares of their companies at these depressed prices.
Never have truer words been stated. You can just see them riding the cycle, and they release the virus and they hype it up. The question is, how deadly is it? But it doesn't matter. The promotion of it is synthetic. It is a hoax.
Right. And all they want is more power and more money. And they never expect.
Yeah. What good's money if your kids are dead? I mean, it's like at a certain point, like.
Yeah, it's no good if that kind of thing happens, but people need to know to buy the dip. And they've been ready for it forever. Ray Dalio shorted the market like 6 months ago for this exact time period.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm not a guy that gets to the market because I would obsess over it, but obviously you buy during a crash. That's what you do. But the general public, they buy at the high. They buy at the high.
Right, because they feel like they're going to miss out, and everything goes up, and they're making so much money.
Yeah, they wait till it's the sure thing instead of being the trailblazer.
Right. And then all these people, their wealth is in the stock market. We could take their wealth from them by buying their shares when they depress themselves.
Very well said. What else do you think Trump should do?
I think he should come out and just be honest. Tell people to buy the dip. Tell people this is an opportunity like 2008 was. Tell people the truth about coronavirus.
Exactly. Instead of countering that, oh, the virus isn't a big deal, say, yeah, it may be really horrible, but use this as an opportunity. And then he's not afraid, because him saying nothing's happening makes people afraid. Then you got to say, okay, maybe it's super deadly. We're Americans. We can handle it. Good God.
There's nothing wrong with getting ready. Go to Costco. Get your stuff. You know, order from InfoWars.
That's hedging a bet.
Right. And then be honest. And then just tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly. That's what I do. My wife's like, we're buying all this food and extra stuff. You already have like an attic full of it. What are you doing? I said, if there's a Great Depression, I'm not worried about the virus. The virus may be super bad or maybe not. But if they get a depression going, we better have 5 years of food, sweetheart. I mean, right. You know.
Not, and then if it's not bad, then you can donate to the food bank or you can help your neighbors if it is bad. You know, having extra supplies is always good.
Well, that's the thing about buying high-quality storable food bulk is that it's like five times cheaper than at a store because there's all the middlemen. And like my Patriot that we have that still has food, takes them 6 to 8 weeks to ship it, but they got the food. Everybody else is sold out. There's no middlemen. So you're literally getting high-quality food, the lowest price you're going to find. All right, brother, I appreciate your call, Jay. Amazing points. We've got a pretty good job taking calls today. I had to give myself a B-plus today. We've got Mr. Put. We're going to go to him next. And then we've got Kyle, Chris, JK, Benny, Elaine, and Joe. And I will get to every one of those calls before Paul Joseph Watson takes over in the fourth hour. And I have had no sleep in, it's got to be 36 hours now. But look at that hairstyle, man. Can't beat that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Come on, come on, come on. Listen to that music. Jones, why are you so alive? What are you on? I'm on Jesus Christ, the ultimate drug. I'm on the Holy Spirit. Not a spirit of weakness, but a spirit of victory. So awesome that this weak vessel cannot even begin to show you God's power. But nevertheless, through this little crack in the veil, that is InfoWars, you can see the spirit. In fact, can we just recue that music for a minute? Because there's a lot of music out there, but the way that synthesizer comes in that Rush song at the beginning of Tom Sawyer is so powerful. Can we cue that up? Like in heaven, you're supposed to just hear that over and over again.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean.
One more time. Do it back up. One more time. Something like that is coming in threes. I don't know about you, but I'm not worried about taking on the globals. I just want to make sure when I'm climbing that hill that I've got all the strength I've got. I take every step just right so I'm not too confident. So I get up there to the top of that hill. I get my hands around that little demon's neck and I watch those lights go out and you know we beat them. Planning out the day's events. All right, we're going to take a lot of your phone calls here. You know, we're in fat time right now. We're in, you know, happy hunting time, plenty of money coming into InfoWars. But then I look back on 26 years on air. Every time we're bringing in plenty of money to fund things, I stop plugging. And then the lean times come and I can't fund things. And these projects I want to launch. I have so many vicious projects and operations I'm ready to launch. So many diabolical plans. The left would see them as that. I mean, like I'm a supervillain. I mean, we've got the haircut now. But only you funding us can do that. So I started thinking, you're a dumbass, Jones. You plug really hard when no money's coming in. And then when the big kahuna's coming in, you don't plug. When you know damn well you're going to use that money as a weapon against the globalists. So you need nano silver toothpaste. You need super silver. You need super blue. You need ultimate turmeric. bodies back in stock. You need DNA Force with CoQ10 and PQQ and so much more back in stock, 40% off. You need Ultra 12. You need Vitamin Mineral Fusion. You need Turbo Force now back in stock. You need all this. These are awesome products. Try them and experience it because you can't lose. Because you know InfoWars delivers in the fight. So if it was just a cardboard box you were getting, you're funding InfoWars to win. But this is badass stuff. You think I'm going to produce a sleep aid that doesn't have the purest, most hardcore stuff in it that's natural? You think I would put my name on something and screw you metaphysically knowing I'd be in the clown devil operation if I did that? I actually get nervous. I'm not afraid of the globalists. I'm afraid of, like, not doing the very best for you. Are we sure it's the best? And I'm, like, running around constantly because I can't tell you something unless I absolutely know it's true. Because I'm the polar opposite of the liars. They told me today, they said, don't go on air and say you got pulled over for a DWI. Don't talk about that. When it says, I got tested, it was below the legal limit. Like I told the cop, I did nothing wrong. I've been vindicated. Who cares? I'm not drag queen story Trump trying to stick my Johnson in your five-year-old. That's the issue, not me. And Lord knows I've got my problems. But I have reached the point of no return. I don't care about anybody but God. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care how you persecute me. I will never bow to your new world order. Burn in hell! And in that moment, you now touch the face of God. Because God wants people that aren't going to bow down in this test. This is baby stuff. This is elementary. We'll go to the next level. We'll look back. It's like babies with blocks and going kitty cat doggy. And God just wants people that aren't cowards. That's all. It's just a test. And I love life. I'm not scared of death, though. I'm ready to get beamed up. I'll tell you that because I know it's real, folks. I've seen the other side. I see across the veil anytime I want to. But let me tell you something right now. We're going to win because of you. And taking your kids to school and working hard and being a decent person and loving God's all you need to do. That's all the wealth of the world is just loving justice and just loving God. You do that, everything else is handled. You love God. You want to be a good person. You just love God. It's that spirit, it's that relationship. Just, I love God. I love justice. That's all the wealth. It's all the power. It's everything. Just you love God. You want to be a good person. And then you have courage because that's God. Courage isn't something we come up with. It's God's will. And it's like a fire hose of power. You ever seen big dams, gates open when there's a big flood and it's just blasting out? God's looking for people that can handle that level of power and who don't use power to oppress people, but use it to expand human consciousness. And the minute you enter into that gate, you are now in the presence of God. And you feel that presence, you don't fear the New World Order or all the slime bags or all the cowards anymore. You just want to be in alignment with God. But you look at the preachers. On average, they are occultists or they're blackmailed or they're Satanists who have been sent to take over. And they're going to tell you all day how good they are and how, oh, you liked a woman. Oh, that's the devil. But they will never talk about the pedophiles. They'll never talk about, because it's all a fraud, but it doesn't matter. You're winning, we're winning, they're losing, and they know it, and they can feel it, and all their people that serve them. I don't say this with pleasure. You go to a leftist event, they're dying without God. Those of us that have God are like bulging with energy and power. It's almost embarrassing. It's like, oh, hey, please, no more, please. And meanwhile, you go look at some globalists, they're like a little zombie, like, ooh. Why would you want to be part of something that is such a giant galactic failure? Well, I'm ranting, aren't I? It is a vice I have. Benny in Tennessee. Oh, no, Mr. Put first. Mr. Put wants to know if I've been infected at CPAC. Mr. Put, what do you think's going on? The president may have been infected. the Chi-Com showed me about the fear. What should I do?
Well, Alex, I'm curious if you're wondering if you're infected, because your reporter, Millie Weaver, she's got a photo here on her Twitter page with Diamond and Silk. And
I am infected right now.
In the green room.
I'm infected.
Oh, you are?
Okay. I'm infected with something called 1776. Have you heard about it?
Well, yeah. But anyway.
No, seriously. Wait a minute. You see, Diamond and Silk talked to somebody who talked to somebody that saw a leprechaun. I'm infected. What should I do? Should I bow to Xi Jinping? Oh, look, Xi Jinping. What? I'm not being mean. Mr. Put, how do I properly bow? How do I lay on my belly before Xi Jinping? Tell me how I do that.
Oh, you're being silly.
No. You just called in and said, I see it on the board. Is that Alex and InfoWars crew infected with coronavirus? That is a luscious headline. We're going to go with that headline, actually. Is Alex Jones infected with coronavirus?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Oh, my God. And so what is this, the power of Xi Jinping?
No, it's a concern for your health.
Tell me about Xi Jinping and how handsome he is.
People should be concerned generally for your health based on the crazy things you say.
Based on the amount of goblin power I have?
Oh, you're being silly again.
All right. You called in because this is the big magic leftist thing. Virus. Oh, someone at Westlake in Austin saw someone who knew someone who talked to somebody who was an uncle of a brother of a sister of a cousin who knew someone in another country who had the corona. And it's like a new royalty. Like, I may have coronavirus. And they just float down like, I am your coronavirus. You know, I'm getting ready to come out for the coronavirus. This is a giant hoax.
Is the coronavirus not highly infectious?
Highly infectious? The Chi-Coms tell us so. But the death rate is been undocumented. It gets lower and lower, 15%, 2%, 1%. I believe the hype of the coronavirus is very real. It's a globalist move. I just don't know how we call in and go, Alex, you've been infected. Sorry, FEMA camp for you. No one should visit InfoWars.com either, because if you go there, you become Winnie the Pooh, like Xi Jinping.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
And Paul Joseph Watson is about to take over from Her Britannic Majesty's England. Paul is self-quarantining right now. He has the coronavirus. I'm joking. But that's coming up. We're taking a few calls here. Benny in Tennessee, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
Hit me with the power of Benny.
Well, I just want to say that the timing of the coronavirus is very suspect. If you look at what China was able to successfully do with quelling their freedom uprising, now...
Are you saying a plastic banana is fake? Hell yes, the whole thing's been organized by them. The question is, how deadly is the virus? We know the hype's weaponized. We know the globalists are behind it. But how deadly do you think the virus is, Benny?
I don't think it's that deadly. I think that the way what they're doing is causing fear and panic as a means to do the quarantine in the United States, I believe, is a big...
No, I agree. They want to lock down the United States, and they'll use that crisis to run around and firebomb stuff with lots of little meth head Antifa people.
Yeah, like the previous caller. But I think that the medical martial law, the timing of that would align pretty well with the upcoming election.
Oh, you're right. This whole thing is totally the next globalist move. But how do we take down the jabberwocky that went floofle as it went? How do we deal with that? Oh, burbled as it went.
Yeah, I think you gotta get the supplements. You gotta strengthen your own immune system. You gotta not pay attention to the distractions. You know, get right with God, get right with your family, and not let anything, scare you into living your life. You know, I mean,
beautifully said, Benny. I can talk to you for 10 hours, but I'm going to get the next person as they get on. Elaine in the beautiful state of Maine, which is evil that America even exists. There's even a state. I apologize that she even exists. In fact, it is calling. Elaine, thank you for calling. We've got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Alex. I'm a longtime listener and customer and New World Order fighter. And so I want to call in about what happened to me, a personal experience anyway. Back in October, I came down with something that, you know, I've never even come close to having before. And I believe now it was the virus.
Well, the good news is your body, thanks to the good Lord, defeated it.
And it wasn't just me that got it. I'm in my 60s, you know. And it wasn't just me. My son, who came over to help me out a little bit when I was sick in the beginning, he's half my age, and he came down with it.
There's a lot of really rough stuff. Yeah, that's what Steve Pachetik says. He says the virus has been here for 6 months. It's raging out of control. That's why when they put the final test kits out that Bill Gates is sending out, it's going to create hysteria.
Well, actually, I had it the year before, in 2018. And both times, last year and 2018, I had it in October. And I follow your show. I follow all the news and everything.
Don't you want to trust the little demon elf? Like, when you meet Satan, it looks like Bill Gates, because that is Satan. I mean, just look at that photo if you're watching on TV. That's a helper right there. I mean, obviously, he's here to help you.
The only thing I can think of is I might have contacted it from a restaurant that I went to that has a Chinese restaurant, actually, that they have Chinese people over from China on visas, and the owner, one of them, the owner goes over there. And that's the only thing I can think of.
Ma'am, we appreciate you from Maine. Elaine, great call. All right, Rob and Chris and Kyle and Joe and Waylon, a lot of cool names. From Her Britannic Majesty's England, from the command base known as London, home, Joseph Watson of Summit.News and Pan.Video.
And we are live here on fourth hour of the show, and guess what we're going to be talking about? Yes, we're going to be talking about, surprise, surprise, coronavirus. But maybe from a different angle, maybe looking at it from the angle of South Korea and Singapore and what they've done to mitigate the spread of coronavirus. Because if you look at the numbers out of those two countries, and indeed out of China, if we are to believe that China is telling the truth, of course, you'd expect Singapore and South Korea to be more honest. It does look like this could be a massive hysterical panic that is being sold. As the MIT scientist said, who was on Alex's show recently, to manipulate financial markets and to sink the re-election of Donald Trump. We have an article up here on Summit.News. Singapore and South Korea numbers suggest coronavirus can be controlled. And there's a graph in there which shows the daily new cases of coronavirus infections out of South Korea. And if you look at it over the past 3 days, and this is what I point out in the article, by the way, the country's health minister in South Korea is now saying they've, quote, passed the peak of coronavirus infections and are now seeing a decline in cases. They had a massive response to it. They had gigantic testing, probably the biggest testing of potential coronavirus victims in the entire world, bar China. They had 50 deaths, but now the coronavirus cases are seemingly on the decline. March 7th, South Korea had 448 new recorded cases of coronavirus. On March 8th, it was 272, And on March 9th, yesterday, it was 165. Still waiting for the figures from today. But that suggests that in South Korea, it peaked towards the end of February, early March, and has been on the decline ever since. And again, this is a country that's carried out rigorous testing of potential coronavirus victims. So the argument that they're fudging the numbers or hiding the numbers or they haven't been able to test enough people doesn't really seem to hold weight. Similar story in Singapore. The World Health Organization, in between lambasting people for calling it the Wuhan virus, because that's now racist, you can't do that, in between lambasting people for stigmatizing the Chinese, because of course they literally came out five times and gave five different statements saying it's important how we talk about this. Well, they've praised Singapore over and over again, not for them using politically correct language, but for their response to the coronavirus. Because as this article points out, despite the country recording 160 cases, there have been zero deaths and 93 victims have already been discharged. And again, just like in South Korea, new cases of coronavirus in Singapore are on the decline. Then you look at China. Now, we had today only 17, or in fact yesterday, only 17 new cases of coronavirus in Wuhan yesterday. Or in fact, no, that's today's numbers, Tuesday, which is the lowest figure since China began publishing data. Can you trust the Communist Party of China's figures? Probably not. But going on what they've said, and AFP is reporting this as well, they're saying that in China, the tide has turned. President Xi Jinping saying the tide has turned. AFP reporting new infections, quote, dropping dramatically in recent weeks. Of course, we've been told here in the West for days and in fact weeks on end that there are going to be thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of coronavirus cases. But in those three countries, it seems like a corner has been turned. State media claiming the last of Wuhan's 16 makeshift hospitals, remember those new hospitals that they set up in a matter of days, the last hospital out of 16 in Wuhan has now been closed. And if that is the case, that does suggest that finally China is telling the truth and their draconian martial law quarantine measures did in fact work. And coronavirus is, at least for now, on the decline. We're going to get into a story about how some people expect it to come roaring back in winter, and they say it's going to be even worse in winter because there's a lot of evidence that suggests that it can't survive very well in warmer temperatures as we move towards spring and summer. But certainly in these three countries, and it's not just, by the way, the Communist Party of China saying it. We have a quote here from Alfred Wu, who is an associate professor at the National University of Singapore's Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy. He said, quote, the outbreak has basically ended in China. And as I write in the article, these numbers won't provide much comfort to Italy, which has now gone under a total quarantine. We're going to get onto that here in a moment. And then we're going to talk about Russia. In fact, I'm going to get into Russia in the next segment, because Russia is an example, as with Mongolia, as with some of these other countries that closed most of their border very early, we're talking back towards the end of January, and have been impacted by coronavirus far, far less than any other European, major European country in the case of Russia, with just 20 recorded coronavirus cases as of yesterday in Russia and zero deaths. But is it a hysteria being ginned up politically to try and take down Trump in the 2020 re-election? Well, that's certainly what an MIT scientist, who I believe he was on Alex's show back a few days ago, has said. Headline, MIT scientist claims coronavirus is a, quote, deep state fraud. This is Shiva Iyadorai, who claims to be the inventor of email. He's a PhD in biological engineering at MIT, or that's what his PhD was in. He's running as a Republican in the 2020 U.S. Senate race. He responded to President Donald Trump's claim that Democrats and the media are responsible for inflaming the coronavirus scare far beyond what the facts would warrant by saying that the panic has been overblown for political and economic reasons. He tweeted this quote, as an MIT PhD in biological engineering who studies and does research nearly every day on the immune system, he's an expert in the matter, The coronavirus fear-mongering by the deep state will go down in history as one of the biggest frauds to manipulate economies, suppress dissent, and push mandated medicine, of course, in light of that potential coronavirus vaccine coming out at some point later this year. As I point out in the article, we don't really know about the full scale of it in the US because about 6,000, only 6,000 people have been tested in the US for the coronavirus. In fact, Raheem Kassam, who has been on this show before, of course, went to CPAC, was around the same room in which that individual at CPAC, the conference a couple of weekends ago, contracted coronavirus. He documented how he tried to get a test in the US, tried to go to a hospital to get a test, and it was basically like wading through treacle. He finally got the test today, and they've told him that it's going to be 72 hours before he gets the results. So certainly the accusation that the tests have not been forthcoming seems to be dead on, but of course some people are blaming that on the CDC, not Trump himself. So we've got a big MIT scientist saying that it's completely overblown. We've got South Korea having tested at least 100,000 people, now basically have fought off the virus. But then across Europe, of course, we've got massively porous borders. Italy has recorded 1,000-plus new coronavirus cases every single day. And of course, they've had to quarantine and lock down their entire country. Going to contrast with that with how Russia responded in the next segment. But of course, we continue to see price gouging. Headline up on Summit News, NYC hardware store selling hand sanitizer for $109 a bottle. If the stuff hits the fan, you're not going to be able to eat hand sanitizer. We've seen videos out of Australia, out of the UK, out of New Zealand, all these other countries, people squabbling over toilet roll. Well, now in yet another shameless act of price gouging, a hardware store in New York is selling bottles of hand sanitizer for $109 a pop. They're actually selling one at $79 a pop. That's still available. The one for $109 has now gone out of stock. The shocking prices are not deterring customers. The smaller bottles are flying off the shelf and the bigger bottles have sold out. The employee told the New York Post, "Everyone who comes in the store buys them. We sold about 50 of those today." Of course, my main concern, if it does really hit the fan, would not be hand sanitizer. It would be basic foods. They don't seem to be squabbling over them as much as they're squabbling over toilet roll. We're going to get into how Russia has responded in the next segment.
Breaking news. I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house.
You're listening to Summit.News with Paul Joseph Watson.
We're live and we continue to track the latest with the coronavirus. I put up an article last night on Summit.News headline, "Russia in January has coronavirus under control." Some kind of connection there. What do you think possibly could be with Russia with only 20 cases of the coronavirus now? Probably holding for the country. Of course, Singapore. Last 3 days, coronavirus cases have dropped day by day to a basically less than 100 today, I think the latest numbers were. They've got it under control. Now, Russia, which closed its border ports back in January, at least most of them, has registered just 20 coronavirus cases, many of them Russians returning from Italy, and zero deaths. This is being tracked by the Moscow Times. At the end of January, Russia announced it had closed the entirety of its 2,600-mile border with China. Moscow also asked all returning citizens to self-quarantine and banned Chinese citizens from entering the country. The result of that is that Russia avoided the kind of panic that's gripped many of the European countries. Haven't seen any footage out of Russia of people squabbling over hand sanitizer or toilet roll. Compare that to Italy, of course, ruled by a government which is vehemently left-wing now, pro-open borders after they threw out Salvini back about 6 months ago. So Russia's got 20 coronavirus cases. Italy has over 10,000 today, and I think they've surpassed 500 deaths. In fact, I think it's now up to 600 deaths in Italy. They've had to place the entire country under de facto quarantine because for the past three, 4 weeks, and in fact, before that as well. Of course, they had people fleeing in and out of their porous borders, people fleeing to the south of the country before that quarantine was in place. Contrast that with Russia, which again, thanks to its strong border measures, only 20 coronavirus cases, most of them Russians returning from Italy, and most of those cases already fully recovered. Of course, zero people have died in Russia. You compare that to Germany, Spain, France, even the UK, which has escaped most of it up until this point. Russia has fared the best because it had the strongest border controls. I know also today, Mongolia, which closed its border at the same time that Russia did back at the end of January, only just recorded its first coronavirus case just today. Meanwhile, for the past 3 weeks plus, we've had European leaders repeatedly insisting that no border controls will be implemented. And of course, Russia firmly ignored the World Health Organization's demands that profiling be avoided in order to reduce stigmatization, because as we highlighted in another story last month, they actually had Moscow police and subway workers checking passengers believed to be Chinese. Yes, they actually dared profile Chinese people for signs of coronavirus. That actually led to, ridiculously, Beijing filing an official complaint, like they haven't imposed draconian quarantine measures themselves. And unlike other major European countries such as Italy, Germany, and France, whatever Russia is doing appears to be working, and Moscow certainly won't be making any apologies for being politically incorrect. So all the major countries that impose the strongest border controls the earliest have escaped the worst of the coronavirus epidemic, almost like border controls work. Meanwhile, in America, and I think this is still the same in the UK, we've still got people flying in from Italy, up until yesterday at least, to Heathrow, to Gatwick, to major airports in the United Kingdom, coming straight back into the country. They're not even testing them when they land at the airport. We have this story out of Summit News. Airport says DHS is not screening people coming into US from coronavirus-stricken Italy or South Korea. A major airport in Atlanta has admitted that neither its own officials nor the Department of Homeland Security are screening travelers arriving from Italy or South Korea, two countries where the coronavirus has hit the hardest outside of China. Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport announced that while the CDC has demanded screening of passengers from China and Iran, no such screening is taking place for those coming in from Italy or South Korea, because they claim those countries are doing exit screenings. Of course, they don't know the proficiency to which they're performing those exit screenings, particularly in Italy, which is completely overwhelmed at this point. So essentially, officials in the US are relying on the word of their foreign counterparts that sufficient screening is happening before people leave. So again, no tests in many major airports in both the United Kingdom and the United States from people arriving from those corona-hit countries. And this connects with another article, and we've got the video clip, which we'll play here in a second. Dr. Drew slams media for hurting people with coronavirus panic. This is not the first time that he's sounded the alarm bell, that the bigger problem is not the virus itself, but maybe the hysteria, the panic that we've seen plunge financial markets over the past week or so. Dr. Drew has once again spoke out regarding the media's handling of the coronavirus outbreak, urging the panic being generated is hurting people, and those spreading it should be held accountable. Here's the clip.
Because the press is continuing to spin it.
So you've seen pandemics over the decades. Yes. How does this one compare with everything?
A bad flu season is 80,000 dead. We've got about 18,000 dead from influenza this year. We have 100 from corona.
Mm-hmm.
Which should you be worried about, influenza or corona? 100 versus 18,000.
Right.
It's not a trick question. And look, everything that's going on with the New York cleaning the subways and everyone using Clorox wipes and get your flu shot, which should be the other message, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So I have no problem with the behaviors. What I have a problem with is the panic and the fact that businesses are getting destroyed and people's lives are being upended, not by the virus, but by the panic. The panic must stop. And the press they really somehow need to be held accountable because they are hurting people.
So where do you think the panic started? Like, what besides the press, like, what was the impetus in terms of mass hysteria?
I saw it. There's a footage of me on a show called The Daily Blast Live a month ago going, shouldn't we be scared about this? And me going, no, this there's going to be this potential for panic here. Right. Shut up, everybody. Stop talking about it. I could see the panic brewing. And I could just see it the way the innuendo and the every opportunity for drama by the press was twisted in that direction. Let me give you an example. So the World Health Organization is out now saying the fatality rate from the virus is 3.4%, right? Every publication from the WHO says 3.4%, and we expect it to fall dramatically once we understand the full extent of the illness. No one ever reports the actual statement.
Right.
You go 3.4%. That's 10 times more than the whatever, 5 times more than the flu virus. And yeah, it's going to be a little more flu, probably.
So they have Dr. Drew once again speaking out about the panic whipped up by the media, which of course is Trump's angle on all this. Meanwhile, we have this story out of Sky News. Coronavirus worldwide peak will come next winter, scientific model predicts. They're saying that it's going to come back, and it's going to come back in force, even worse than it is now, next winter. Scientists are warning that even if coronavirus transmissions dip as we head into the spring and summer, such a reduction shouldn't be mistaken for an end to the outbreak. Instead, a reduction of cases during the summer should be seen as a precious opportunity to prepare for next winter, when a new model suggests the virus could infect 100 times more people. And in the next segment, I'm going to get into another article which talks about why there's been so few cases in Africa, and if that tells us something about how warm weather can play a massive impact in stopping the spread of the coronavirus, obviously, as we come up to spring and summer. Breaking news at Infowars.com. Don't go away.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
And we are back talking about the coronavirus. It's not going to be the coronavirus show. We are going to talk about some other subjects here coming up, including what's going on down at the border with Greece and Turkey. You heard Dr. Drew there before the break. Talking about coronavirus panic, is the hysteria worse than the virus itself? We've got speculation that warmer weather is going to defeat this to some extent. Then you've got other models that show it's going to come roaring back in winter. There's a headline here from Information Liberation. It says, Chinese study suggests coronavirus spreads slower in warmer climates. There's comparing official meteorological data with the locations of all coronavirus infections. Suggests the virus spreads fastest at 48 degrees Fahrenheit and drops off at higher temperatures, according to Chinese researchers. And they cite the South China Morning Post, coronavirus highly sensitive to high temperatures, but don't bank on summer killing it off. So they're suggesting that it does have an impact in dropping the rate of coronavirus infections, because Africa has been relatively untouched by the virus. One week ago, France 24 reported that health experts were puzzled by their low rates. Only 3 coronavirus officially recorded coronavirus cases in Africa as of a few days ago. It's probably a few more now. But in comparison to the rest of the world, Africa has almost escaped the virus entirely. Meanwhile, Florida has 16 confirmed cases, but Governor DeSantis said Florida has not had community spread of the virus. So does the warmer temperature have an impact in stopping its spread? That's what is being asked. What's also being asked by MSNBC journalist David Gora, headline up here on Summit.News, MSNBC journalist claims calling coronavirus Wuhan virus is racist. Is it bigoted? Is it racist to refer to it as the Wuhan virus? Well, Jack Posobiec tweeted a list of other viruses that the world has experienced in the past few decades, including West Nile virus, Zika virus, Ebola virus, German measles, Spanish flu, Marburg virus, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Stockholm syndrome, Lyme disease, Wuhan virus. A lot of other viruses have been named after geographic locations, so to suggest it's racist to call it the Wuhan virus when that is, according to many people, the source, the origin of the coronavirus, not really racist, is it? And then also in this article, there's a video embedded where for weeks, and in fact now months on end, CNN and other mainstream media networks directly referred to it as the Wuhan virus. And in fact, Chinese news sources themselves have repeatedly referred to it as the Wuhan virus. But of course, the World Health Organization says that choosing the words that we use to talk about it is just as important as stopping the pandemic itself. Well, no, patrolling language isn't as important as stopping a global pandemic, I would argue. Meanwhile, AFP reports French mayor defends Smurf rally after outcry over virus. A small French town decided to hold a gathering of 3,500 people dressed as Smurfs this past weekend. Probably not the best idea, given that France is one of the worst hit countries in Europe now with the coronavirus. The gathering came a day before France banned all gatherings of more than 1,000 in a bid to contain the spread of the virus. And again, the day before that, they had a gathering of 3,500 people, because having 3,500 people dress up as Smurfs was obviously very crucial and important, despite the fact that coronavirus has infected 1,400 people and killed 25. Those numbers are probably even bigger now in France. We're going to move on now, because I don't want this to be the coronavirus show. We've talked about it in the entire show. Let's talk about what's happening down at the border between Greece and Turkey, because, of course, what is it now? A couple of weeks ago, we had Erdogan come out, the leader of Turkey, the Islamist leader of Turkey, and basically he's trying to support the al-Qaeda jihadist rebels in Syria to depose the Syrian government, Bashar al-Assad. And because Russia has been interfering with that, once again, he opened the floodgates. He's basically a mafia boss now saying that he's going to remove his protection from those potentially millions of migrants flooding into Europe from the Middle East. Well, the Greeks are standing up to it, specifically the Greek people. Headline video: Greek farmer on tractor uses water cannon to repel migrants. Video out of Greece shows a farmer on a tractor using a water cannon to repel migrants who are trying to break through the border. They've been setting fire to the metal fencing down there on the border with Turkey so they can try and weaken it and sneak through the border. So this ingenious farmer got on his tractor and started spraying them all with water, not only to get them back away from the fence, but also to make the ground wet, making it harder for the migrants to start the fires. They've been burning down refugee centers. They've been beating up NGO workers who are trying to help the migrants illegally get across the border. Of course, we disavow that completely. But now the farmers are there in their tractors, literally spraying the border and getting the migrants away from them, because, again, they were completely subsumed by hundreds of thousands of these people from 2015 onwards, and it basically wrecked their country for a significant amount of time. They're taking measures against it, and we fully support them. Breitbart reports, demanding more cash, Erdogan walks out of EU meeting over migrant crisis. The Islamist leader of Turkey walked out of his meeting with European Union officials after the two sides failed to reach an agreement on the migrant crisis at the Greek border Monday night. He had a meeting with EU officials in Brussels, Erdogan, and he demanded that the EU send more financial support in return for halting the flow of migration into the bloc. Bearing in mind, they already sent, what was it, $6 billion in aid in 2016, simply as mafia protection money for Erdogan to keep that promise to hold the migrants back. And it again goes back to the argument. We've been told in the West for the past 5 years that diversity is a strength, that we can absorb these millions and millions of migrants. Anyone who complains about it is a racist bigot, hates refugees. Meanwhile, Erdogan is literally using them as a weapon, literally using them as an intimidation tool for the EU to give him more money. Is diversity a strength? Doesn't really appear so, given that Erdogan's literally using them as a weapon. Meanwhile, Breitbart also reports, EU-funded Turkish armored vehicle rips down Greek border fence. Greek government has released a night vision video, which they claim shows a Turkish armored vehicle obtained through European Union funding. So they're actually using that protection blackmail money they got from the European Union to rip down the border and allow more of these migrants to cross. Video shows them trying to rip down border fencing and allow illegal migrants to penetrate the Greek border. A statement released with the video said it depicts a Turkish armored border surveillance vehicle which tries to pull down part of the border fence with a rope. That's according to the Greek newspaper Katamarini and the Associated Press. So they're literally using the money that was given to them by the EU to prevent the migrants from coming across, to help the migrants come across. That's Erdogan. That's the mafia boss, the Islamist boss of Turkey, who is so upset that he's losing the battle in Syria and that his jihadist rebel army are getting killed, that he's now using these migrants as a weapon and using European Union funding to do so. Another headline here, Greek government, only 4% of refugees reaching border are Syrian. Well, what a surprise. Of course, throughout the 2015-16 migrant crisis, again, we were sold the lie that these were Syrian refugees when that was a tiny proportion of them. Well, that once again is the case. Just 4% of the supposed refugees who have breached the Greek border in recent days are Syrians, according to the Greek government. And they did an analysis of this, found that 64% are from Afghanistan, 19% are from Pakistan, 2.6% Somalian. And in fact, the latest figures show that there are more coming across from North Africa, and just 4% of them are Syrian migrants or refugees. So they're not refugees. Once again, they're economic migrants trying to penetrate the border, trying to flee to those northern European welfare havens, trying to cause much of the problems that we've seen across Europe over the past.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, as people in Australia, New Zealand, the United Kingdom and elsewhere squabble over hand sanitizer and toilet roll, most people aren't prepared whatsoever for outbreaks like the coronavirus and other world destabilizing events. Of course, now the CDC itself is telling seniors to hoard supplies, basically have at least 2 weeks worth of supplies, food supplies in their homes to deal with the coronavirus if they can't go outside. We've seen video out of Italy today with health authorities with loudspeakers cruising around neighborhoods telling Italians to stay indoors and to only come outside if they're picking up medical supplies or seeing a doctor. Those people hopefully have some level of food security in their homes, have some level of storable food. And if you don't have that, now is there's no time like now to be stocking up on it, which is why we have the emergency survival foods still available at InfoWarsStore.com. Of course, we've had massive demand and that has caused some delays. There's an update here on the page at InfoWarsStore.com. It says, my Patriot Supply has opened 2 new food production facilities today, bringing their total to 4 food processing plants. So we will hopefully shortly have this food back in stock, but you can get on the waiting list. It could be up to 8 weeks, but it's worth getting on that waiting list for our InfoWars Life Select storable food. Again, it's 25-year shelf life, a ton of delicious recipes. Just add water and eat. And of course, if nothing happens, if the coronavirus doesn't come back, you know, roaring next winter, you just eat the food because it's got a 25-year shelf life. So it gives you plenty of time to just eat it anyway and then maybe stock up later on if you want to. Save a ton of money in the process. We've got the 1-year option, 6-month, 3-month, right down to the 1-week supply of storable food that has 42 servings of emergency survival foods at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the amazing 5-star reviews. Enhance your food security and support this network by buying the delicious storable food, 25-year shelf life at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't delay. Again, you might need to wait up to 8 weeks, but you will definitely get it if you get in the waiting list now. Now, switching to big tech news, I wrote an article just before I came on air here this evening. It's up on summit.news. Psychologist, big tech will use subliminal methods to shift 15 million votes on election day. This is an issue we've talked about many times before, and this is something that Robert Epstein is so passionate about. that in this article, which I linked to, he emphasizes that he's not suicidal. Of course, he had the tragic accidental death of his wife in a car accident back in December. And Epstein himself, in a tweet, suggested it may not have been accidental simply because of the gravitas of the information that he's putting out when it comes to big tech manipulation. Remember, he's done the studies. And in fact, in 2016, he did the study where he gauged that search engine bias and algorithmic manipulation to the point where a certain candidate is ranked above another on a Google search result, or a positive or negative story about that candidate is ranked above another on a Google search result, the algorithmic manipulation, can shift millions of votes. He said it shifted 2 to 3 million votes in Hillary Clinton's favor back in 2016. He's now saying that number in 2020 could be 5 times as much. And he writes in his article, social media giants can shift opinions and votes in numerous ways that people can't detect via a wide variety of subliminal methods of persuasion that can in minutes shift the voting preferences of 20% or more of undecided voters without anyone having the slightest idea they've been manipulated. And all he's talking about is in what order certain stories are ranked in your news feed or in Google search results. Of course, we've had the massive scandal with YouTube, proven in triplicate. At one point on YouTube, which bear in mind is the second biggest search engine in the world, you could type in my name and not even find my videos apart from the ones debunking and attacking me. They got it down to that level of manipulation where somebody with nearly 2 million subscribers on their own platform was completely blacklisted when you did an exact search for my name. Of course, Alex Jones was completely booted from there back in 2018. But in this article, Epstein talks about the leaked Google emails, which were published by the Wall Street Journal back in 2018, which exposed how Google engineers had sought to investigate how they could manipulate a user's ephemeral experiences to change their mind on the Trump travel ban. And again, he's talking about the fleeting moments we have every day when we view online content that's generated on the fly and isn't stored anywhere. News feeds, search suggestions. Remember the autocomplete suggestions back in 2016, where you could go on Bing, you could go on Yahoo, you could go on DuckDuckGo, any other search engine, and type in Hillary Clinton. The autocomplete suggestions would mainly be negative. You go on Google, they're all positive. Of course, what is it? Google has swallowed up now 75-80% of search traffic. And he writes in the article, no authority can go back in time to see what search suggestions or search results you were shown, but dozens of randomized controlled double-blind experiments I've conducted show that such content can dramatically shift opinions and voting preferences. He's talking about it shifting 15 million votes in the 2020 presidential election without leaving any kind of paper trail. He talks about Eisenhower's speech, the infamous military-industrial complex speech back in 1961, where, of course, he warned of a technological elite taking control. Now that technological elite in Silicon Valley is in control. They donate 95% of their money to Democrats, social media companies, their employees. 95% of their donations go to Democrats. They're in control. They're in control of the algorithm. The algorithm is king. Does it matter if you make a political ad to compete with your adversary's competing political ad? If Google decides not to show it, if Facebook decides not to promote it in your feed to your followers, they ain't going to see it. That's how they win. And again, he says, I'm not suicidal because of the gravitas of this information that he's trying to put out. But he cautions, quote, Republicans in general are likely to lose if we don't aggressively focus on algorithmic manipulation and indeed report it to the Federal Election Commission and Congress as election meddling. He's been harping on about this for the past 4 or 5 years. Of course, Trump was monitoring the situation when we all got banned and nothing was done. Republicans haven't really done anything to address this. This is the biggest example of election meddling when you can change an algorithm to shift up to 15 million votes on election day. And he ran studies with the biggest Democratic election in the world,
the election in India, he found the exact same thing. It shifted 10 million votes during that election. And now Epstein is warning that it could shift up to 15 million on election day 2020. And nobody is really talking about it. It should be a way bigger deal than it is. Talking about social media manipulation, another headline here. Journalist suspended by Twitter after exposing Carlos Maza's wealth hypocrisy. Of course, Carlos Maza was the Vox journalist who tried to get Steven Crowder banned from YouTube because Crowder insulted him. We had that controversy back last summer. Well, now he was exposed. Maza, again, he's a self-proclaimed communist. He rails against the rich. He literally talks about eating the rich. Well, New York Post journalist did an article, John Levine, exposing about how Maza, again, rails against the wealthy, yet enjoys all the privileges of being from an extremely wealthy family. This guy's family has numerous mega mansions. His mother is rich. His mother's partner is probably a billionaire. So there was a big expose article by Levine on Carlos Maza, this YouTube communist, showcasing how wealthy his family was. He showed one image. He tweeted one image of one of these mansions owned by Maza's family, and the tweet was deleted. John Levine, the New York Post journalist, was suspended, obviously because they claimed it was doxing. And just the same as this manipulated media tag, which they're now using against Trump and his big supporters, but not using against Joe Biden when he puts out manipulated media, they're now saying that this was doxing, despite the fact that Maza himself did the exact same thing when he posted an image of James Carville's home just last month. While complaining about Carville's wealth, Carlos Maza faced zero action from Twitter. Last time I checked, John Levine's original tweets showing one of these mansions owned by Carlos Maza's family, it was deleted. He was suspended. He had to delete the tweet in order to get access back to his account. So once again, with Silicon Valley, it's one rule for leftists and another for conservatives. They continue this election meddling manipulation. That's going to wrap it up for the show. Coming up next is War Room with Owen Schroyer. Don't go away. Breaking news